much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I cannot believe this! More! More f***ing pain! More pain!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high five a blind guy?
Really, Ryan?
No, that's it.
Shut up, Ryan Seacrest.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble.
You think this is hard? I'm passing a gallstone as we speak. That's hard.
Why do you have a monkey?
It's an animal that looks like a dude. Why don't I have 10 of them?
And now,
Charlie Sheen is winning. Psycho Mike is winning. Kevin is dead. Winning.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
I know, right?
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Tuesday morning.
Speaking of Charlie Sheen, by the way, anyone see his appearance on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show last night?
No. Oh, I did not. I taped it, though. I love Jimmy's show.
So bizarre. He had Jimmy had Mark Cuban on as a guest, and Mark Cuban, as you know, runs that HD Net,
right,
and has been in talks with Charlie Sheen, and I guess Charlie Sheen was with Mark Cuban and was backstage, and at one point he came running out, throwing out T-shirts to the audience, just being wacky. And he kissed Jimmy right on the mouth.
All right.
Ran over Jimmy. We know exactly where that mouth has been.
Yeah, and Charlie's too.
I mean, I don't know that ABC television has enough medical personnel to bring Jimmy back from the dead. But he should be getting tested for everything. Whatever you get when you travel to any country in the world, he should be tested for right now. He should be at Dr. Drew's office when it opens this morning. Just running a full STD panel.
All right. Now, we've been having an ongoing conversation about Charlie Sheen off the air, and that is, how many shows is he going to do? He's all these live shows. It seems to me like he's going to get booed a couple times and cancel the whole thing. Bean, after seeing him on Jimmy, does he have anything?
Well, it was a very funny appearance, but he barely said a word. I mean, it was all just coming out. He had the surprise factor that people did not know he was there.
Okay.
And then he threw out stuff to the crowd, so they automatically dug him there because, right, you know, everyone loves free stuff.
Right.
And then he kissed Jimmy on the mouth and then left to applause. I mean, so he didn't
sit down.
Yeah, he wasn't really interviewed.
I see.
I think Jimmy had time maybe to bring up one thing, which is, hey, you ought to take the band out on the road with you because everything's better with a band. I think that was about the extent of it. And Charlie just said a few words, so he didn't have all that much to do except be a surprise guest.
Maybe he's going to do that at his show.
What do people pay for tickets?
You'll wait for a half hour, and then he'll run out and throw out a T-shirt and leave.
Yeah,
I don't know what they paid for those.
The show in the Seattle area, by the way, it's in Everett. It's about 25 miles north of Seattle. Not sold out yet.
Really? What a surprise.
How about that? Well, because we heard about some of those other shows, like Radio City Music Hall sold out both nights. You know, they have great population to draw from, too. But yeah, not sold out yet.
I think that's Scalpers, too, though, because there so many are up for sale. I think Scalpers just went in and got them all.
Yeah, you could be right about that. Anyway, definitely, it's on YouTube or Jimmy's site. You should definitely check that out. Real quick, I got a couple of great stories that you're going to love today about remember we did a phone topic a couple of months ago about if you've ever had to smuggle anything in your butt? And we weren't surprised because it's our listeners, but we could have taken calls for an hour with people who have keistered, right?
Yeah, and they were much more extreme than any of us could have imagined.
Yeah. Yeah. People were into it. Well, there are two stories in the news this week. One in California, a convict named Earl Lee Vaught. He smuggled his contraband into prison, but apparently he overpacked and complained to the guards that he was in pain, that it hurt. So it turned out that he had a cell phone.
Check.
An MP3 player.
Check.
Earbuds.
Which,
now that's good packing because you can use that for both.
Sure.
A bag of marijuana.
Okay.
A bag of loose tobacco.
Check.
And $140 in cash.
In one?
It doesn't say.
In quarters?
Doesn't say. $140 in cash, which, you know, that probably goes a long way in prison,
sure,
I would imagine. I mean, that'd be the first thing you'd want to smuggle in is cash, right?
Well, I was thinking when you said tobacco, I was thinking, you know, that's their cash.
That's currency, too.
That's true.
But then I didn't realize he brought in $140.
So that's in this corner, California. In the other corner, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Karen McAlunis was stopped this past Sunday after she allegedly robbed a hotel and crashed her car. Officers noticed her in the back seat squirming. They did a standard search when she got to the police station, and it found out that she had 54 bags of heroin in her vagina.
Oh, my God. 54? Isn't the fear that if one of those bags breaks, you're dead?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Yes. Wait. Where was she? In Pennsylvania?
Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's right. Yeah. 54 bags of heroin in her vajayjay. She also had 31 empty bags used to package heroin. And I don't know if that means she was planning on breaking down the supply that she had, maybe to make it in smaller bags to distribute or whatever. 8.5 prescription pills and $51.22 in cash and change.
Wow. It's her purse.
Now,
her whole purse.
She doesn't carry a purse.
Maybe that's what it is. If you're packing your... Lisa, let me ask you. Certainly, you've transported contraband in your vagina.
Of course. No question. Where else?
If you're packing your vagina, don't you just pass on the change? Don't you just say, you know what? I can live without the 22 cents.
I would think you would, yeah. But she's got some good muscles. I'll tell you that. She's hanging on to everything.
Sure.
You know, if I'm going to a club or something and I just want to bring a driver's license and, like,
Sometimes some Mad Money, you
just throw it in there.
Sure.
I think I'm with Bean. You might put the dollars in there, but I don't know that I'm going to have coins.
No. I get the $51, but do without the 22 cents. Anyway, so she was searched. Karen was charged with possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance. So there you go. So there's two stories on opposite sides of the country, on opposite sides of the body, but both taking care of similar business.
How about that?
Good times, right?
People sure can step up when they need to accomplish something.
They sure can. That's the human spirit at its best.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
My vagina has the look and feel of turkey jerky.
Okay.
All right, good.
That's enough on that.
We have the director of Sucker Punch, Zack Snyder, on the program today.
How about this guy?
Very excited.
300, The Watchmen, this guy, and he co-wrote this movie, too, which I think it's the first time he's ever written a movie.
He also told us he wanted to talk about the soundtrack, Bean.
He's one of those guys who has to do it all?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think he's excited about it. And so I took the soundtrack home, and it occurred to me, like, track 3 or 4 is a Bjork song.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. So what do we do? I mean, Bean's going to have to handle that part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the part. I mean, didn't he wrote some of the songs on the soundtrack? I think that's what his emphasis is, not just the songs he selected for the movie.
I was not told that. I was just told he wants to talk about the soundtrack, so.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just produced it. I don't know. All right. Well, if he's got Bjork on it, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, it's going to be bad, right?
You're going to buy it. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah. But, I mean, at that point, I should probably just keep my mouth shut.
Probably.
Because you love Bjork.
I do love Bjork.
Or we could go the other direction and have Bjork call in and talk to him. Either way. Just throwing it out there.
I think we'll pass on that.
Okay. We talk to Gary Busey yesterday, the real Gary Busey from Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we had some highlights for you if you didn't hear it coming up just after the top of the hour. But we were faked out 3 times. Bean wasn't. The rest of us were.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called 3 times. The first time, Alex didn't put him on. The second time, we talked to him on the air, and he sounded fishy to me. The third time, we put him on the air, and he sounded fishy to me again. And then the mystery is still not completely unraveled because we still don't know how producer Alex was snookered by NBC, who confirmed that the guy was really Gary Busey. So there are still some mystery questions, but today, not only will we replay the conversation we had late in the show yesterday of the real Gary Busey, today we're going to talk to the Kevin Bean listener who was the fake Gary Busey, and maybe he can answer some of those questions for us.
I love him so much.
Excellent.
I do too. Very talented guy.
A lot of people get upset when they get prank called. Not us, man. I love it. That guy had us. We had him on twice.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were all scratched. He gave us 2 weeks of entertainment.
Because he was funny. Yeah. I'd have him on again today knowing he's fake.
Gross stuff you ate on accident.
Lisa,
uh-huh.
With your potty mouth.
That's not the problem here. New celebrity voices on your GPS.
Oh.
I don't know if you know, but if you have a GPS and you can change the voices to like a British accent, a woman, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they use celebrities as well.
That'd be cool.
Gary Busey, the latest name that has come out.
That is cool, by the way. I don't. I hate the voice feature on GPS. I just like using the maps. I don't use the voice feature ever.
Would you if it was Doto?
Maybe if it was
different. Yes, you would.
That's a good. That's a pretty good idea.
We have Dojo on the program today, so we can talk to him about that, set it up. And we have Psycho Mike on the program today.
Dancing with the Stars is Psycho Mike?
Talking about Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
Temporarily? Dancing with the Stars is Psycho
Just
Mike?
Just barely Dancing with the Stars. And I believe it's already a foregone conclusion that he will be back next Tuesday.
Now, so remember, though, that there's no one eliminated this week.
Right.
So he has the opportunity to dance better than someone next Monday night. Yep. Someone else could be worse than Psycho Mike next Monday night and get the heave-ho.
Yes, that's possible.
I know it is possible. Yeah. Yes.
The lights could also go out, and they wouldn't be able to finish. That's also a possibility. I'm just saying.
And the odds of that are slightly better in Las Vegas.
Say it's not likely. That's all I'm saying. All right, so we got that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman, you're starting to look like a genius putting all your money on Ralph Macchio on Dancing with the Stars.
No one wants to pay attention to me. That's fine. I just know where the smart money goes. That's all I'm saying. Macchio.
You called it.
Macchio 2011. That's how I always been my bumper sticker.
I've never seen that.
Well, you're not looking close enough.
All right.
And Lisa, you look like a sucker. Kiss that $50 goodbye.
Oh, I know.
Talking about last night's Dancing with the Stars with our own Psycho Mike on it. We got a recap coming up for you. Plus, the real Gary Busey. Finally got him on the show at the very end of the program yesterday. We got highlights of that interview on the way after the top of the hour. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm surprised they let Mike use a robot last night. I thought they would. I thought he would have to do his own dance, but apparently they let him bring in an android, which I thought, you know, maybe it could pay off. Maybe it could bite you in the ass.
Right.
So you never know.
It's hard to pile on because he did so much better than I would have done under those circumstances.
No question.
But also,
so much better.
I wouldn't have done it.
There's that
option, too. Sometimes, and this is a crazy idea, especially in show business, you can say no to things.
Yeah.
You say, ooh, this isn't going to go well.
I'm guessing he figured that he could be funny. But then once he got there, he realized, wow, I'm in way over my head. Now
funny
what do I
how,
do?
Henry. Funny how. Like a clown for our amusement?
Oh. Well, our listeners really stepped up, though, and voted, though, which I think is great. I mean, that is great. I hope he sticks around. Because I heard from hundreds of them.
Oh, right.
So he got hundreds of votes last night, Kevin. That's all you need to know.
All right.
Hey, a lot of us voted 12 times. You know, we texted 12 times, which was the maximum. I did everything I could for the boy.
Me, too.
Me, too, buddy. All of us
you
did that.
Check my cell phone if you don't believe me.
Let's give away some tickets. I've got tickets for the advanced screening of Source Code. Special Kevin and Bean advanced screening is happening at the AMC Block of Orange on Wednesday, March the 30th. This looks awesome. You got Jake Gyllenhaal. You got Michelle Monaghan, Vera Farmiga, Jeffrey Wright. Good cast. Action thriller. It's all happening on Wednesday, March the 30th. If you'd like to go, three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you don't win, don't feel bad because it's in theaters everywhere on April 1st on Friday, so you can check it out then. Excellent news from Pearl Jam frontman Eddie Vedder. He's announced he's releasing a solo album in May. It's called Ukulele Songs.
Yay!
See if you can guess what the album is made up of.
Ukulele songs?
Yes, Kevin. Eddie sings original tunes and covers while playing the, wait for it, ukulele. Please enjoy Eddie Vedder's ukulele song.
Not interested.
I know you will mock me.
Oh.
You've heard
Jesus,
it. It's great.
It's wonderful. Blah, blah, he's great. Blah, blah. It's the best album ever. Okay.
I've only heard the first song called Longing to Belong, and it is excellent. And he really sounds great on it. So it's understated. It's not, you know, a crazy ukulele. It's just, it's kind of in the background a little bit, but it's a really, really good song. I'm excited about this album. I'm looking forward to it. He has one of the great voices in rock. Hello. Is this thing on?
We'll just wait until you're done. Then
unfortunately,
we'll go forward.
It is.
You just go.
Are you done?
You do what you
I
need to
like
do.
I felt like I was adding something to a conversation that was happening, though. I didn't just butt in with this. I'm just saying, don't write it off just because it has the U word in the title. That's all.
Noted.
Happy International Talk Like William Shatner Day, everybody.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this for a long time.
It's one of our favorite holidays of the year, yeah. It's Shatner's birthday, and coincidentally, is also International Talk Like William Shatner Day.
So you're just supposed to do that all day, just wherever you go, or
yeah,
all right.
What's so hard to understand?
Well, I don't do voices, so I don't. I got to really prepare. You know,
oh,
I have to do it all day.
You should have been working on this all week. Then
if I have to do it all day, I'm screwed.
Well, you better start working on it.
All right,
let me hear a little.
I'm starting to work on the impression.
Ladies and gentlemen, wow. Kevin Ryder. You're a natural.
I know. That was dead ringer, right?
Yeah,
thought he was in the room.
I thought he was in the room.
Spock, sabotage the system.
Sabotage. I say sabotage. It's sabotage, Bill. I say Sabotage. Vanessa Hudgens is single and happy. Or single and hairy, depending on how you look at it.
Did you just read it wrong? Or?
Yeah, I may have.
All right.
Apparently, since she split up with Zac Efron, she's been throwing big parties at her house. Just going nuts and living the good life.
Wow.
I'd lock up that laptop if I were you, Vanessa Hudgens, if you were inviting people over your house. Because, you know, pictures sometimes...
That always happens.
They tend to walk out of your home. And have you heard the rumor that CBS is courting Charlie Sheen to get him back to be on Two and a Half Men?
No.
Yeah.
What?
That's the rumor.
What?
That is the rumor.
They just fired him.
Tabloid website Radar Online is claiming that CBS honcho Leslie Moonves is in conversations with Charlie, begging him to come back to Two and a Half Men. Wow. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, they're a little concerned about the bottom line. That's the story. Now, keep in mind, this is just a rumor. And also keep in mind that it's really the responsibility of Warner Brothers Television, which produces the show and then sells it to CBS.
Oh, sure.
To call the shots whether Charlie has a job or not. So that fact alone may cast a question mark over this story, to say the least.
Duh.
But meanwhile, as we talked to Harvey Levin yesterday, TMZ reports that Fox wants to talk to Charlie about possibly hosting his own late night show, which would just be just a disaster.
This is one of those things that's super, super hot right now. So everybody has finally gotten the message and they want to tie their wagon to it. And it's going to explode ugly.
Now, let's say this rumor is true. Worst case scenario, CBS and Warner Brothers invite Charlie Sheen back and he goes back onto Two and a Half Men.
Right.
Can people watch that show now like they used to watch it before this all happened? Is he the same lovable Charlie character? Is that show the same? Well, does the audience care?
I think the audience would, if they liked the show before, they'll like the show after.
I don't know. I think everything he did away from the show is hateable. You know what I mean? All, like, that didn't help.
But it all, I mean, it's not like he's playing against type either. It's all kind of like what Charlie Sheen is like on the show, too, which is just
sort
a
of
devil may care, I do what I want anyway kind of guy. So I think he'd be fine. I think the show would continue to be an enormous hit if they got him back.
More importantly, if they bring him back, what message does that send to the powers that be in Hollywood? That any behavior is acceptable on any level if your show's a hit.
I think that's a given.
That's true.
If it makes money.
Yeah.
Clearly someone who believes he is above the law.
That's right.
You could kill a hobo and get back on in a week.
What if Charlie Sheen played ukulele on Two and a Half Men? Then would people watch? That's what I want to know.
I think it's good. I like it.
I'm only basing it on the fact that I've heard it and it's good. It's not something I'm making up.
And if you're reading Courtney Love's tweets, ignore them.
Wrong one?
Yeah, apparently Courtney was horrified to find out that someone was impersonating her on Twitter. Just last week, she came back to Twitter after a two-month forced leave of absence. She was banned from the Twitter because she was slandering certain people. And then she had to pay some damages. And they said, you have to take some time off from Twitter. And so they brought her back, or so they thought. And it was someone else pretending to be her. And did the first thing out of the shoot she did was start insulting Chelsea Handler, which I have to get behind.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's like the Gary Busey impersonator. If you're going to come back strong. So let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Reese Witherspoon is 35 years old today.
Don't say it, Kevin. Don't say it.
Man.
Matthew Modine celebrates his 52nd birthday. Actress Lena Olin is 56. Remember she played Sydney's mom on Alias for those
years? Yeah, she's awesome.
That is. Yes, yes.
Yeah, she did a good job. Sportscaster Bob Costas celebrates his 59th birthday. And as we mentioned earlier, William Shatner is 80 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are listening to The Kevin Bean Show. We are very happy to possibly welcome Psycho Mike back to the program next Wednesday. Actually, I feel kind of bad about that because I know Mike is excited about this Dancing with the Stars thing, and I'm very happy for him. And I'd like to see him go far in the competition. I don't feel super confident based on last night's debut dance.
Yeah, it was rough.
I got to tell you, last night I was supposed to watch Dancing with the Stars because we always make the person who likes it the least watch it, like we did with Omar and Glee. But the Kings game was on, and it was a great game, and I kept thinking, oh, I got 2 hours of Dancing with the Stars to go through. I can't believe it. So I was watching the Kings game, went into overtime, shootout, Kings won. It was 10:30. I was like, oh, now I got to go. And I went to my email, and Bean said, I already did it.
I was like, oh, I've never been more happy in all my life.
Well, I know how little you were looking forward to it. Even though your pal Psycho Mike is on it, I know how little you wanted to watch it. But here's how the program began last night. And I thought it was interesting what they did with the intro this season. This is new, I guess.
Live! This is the season 12 premiere of Dancing with the Stars.
Plus Psycho Mike.
I mean, doesn't that just...
just kind of rude, I think, just to separate him from all the stars. But that's how they did it.
They do so, run by his name every time as quickly as possible.
Yes, they do. And look, it's not Mike's fault. They asked him to be on the show, sure. But he will be the first to admit he's the least famous person, not only this season, but in the history of Dancing with the Stars. So last night was an opportunity for America to get to know Mike.
Welcome back to the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars. Next up, the man who gives out relationship advice with Dr. Drew on Loveline. And his fans.
Yeah. By the way, Dr. Drew, who we tried to get to dance instead, but he said no. So we've got Mike.
He talks the talk, but can he dance the dance? It's radio personality Mike Catherwood and his partner, Lacey Schwimmer.
I'm Mike Catherwood. Those who know my voice know me as Psycho Mike. I host a advice show with Dr. Drew Pinsky called Loveline. What I lack in ability to dance, I make up for by being the least well-known person on the cast. So I'm in a good way.
And that's very smart of Mike to kind of be upfront with that and, you know, not come, he doesn't come in there acting like he's all that. He knows that he's the underdog here. And hey, I think that's a smart way to go.
Let me just run a question by you. Is the crowd at a fever pitch for the entire show?
Yes, they are. I think they have cattle prods under every seat. They scream all the time.
All right, note to self, fast forward to Mike's part and mute the sound.
They have video on everything. And Mike told us this when we talked to him last time, is they videotape all of his performances, all of his rehearsals, everything that goes on in Dancing with the Stars, because they never know what's going to happen and what they're going to use. So they actually have tape rolling on the first time that Mike meets his pro partner, Lacey Schwimmer, who, by the way, is fantastic. We had her in on the show last week. She's great. So here's Mike meeting Lacey for the first time. Let's see how they get on.
What up?
Happening.
Dude, the headband rocks.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Sure does. Mike is, in fact, wearing a headband on national television.
It's not only green, but it glows in the dark green. I mean, it's super, super bright green.
Exactly.
Sure does. I'm Lacey. How are you? I'm a hugger.
I'm Mike. When I walked into the studio and first met Lacey, I thought to myself, wow, let's add to the embarrassment by making my partner an attractive chick.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see that I got you. An American dancer, because a lot of people have forgotten about the Cold War, but I haven't. USA.
All right.
See, because Mike didn't want to get one of those commie Russian dancers to work with.
That was a half-hearted USA at best, by the way.
I know.
USA.
And I do love that he talks about, oh, great, now I've got a hot chick I have to dance with, because one of Mike's biggest fears since he started with Dancing with the Stars is the unintentional boner. And he's terrified about dancing, because it's sexy time, and you get up close with your partner, and there's some rubbing going on and whatnot, unintentionally. So he's like doubling and tripling up on his underwear to make sure nothing like that happens. But that's a constant problem for him.
I saw the unintentional boners last night at True. Really good. Good show.
Here's a little bit more of Mike and Lacey in rehearsals, and then we'll get to the dancing and see how he did on last night's show.
Our first dance is the foxtrot, and that's okay because I have no experience in any form of dance, so it's the same as any other.
Remember, dancing's just walking. It's just walking.
Except incredibly hard. Dancing's just walking, except not at all.
That's what I was thinking. You want people to think that you got it all under control, but I don't. I mean, I'm very scared, and this is an embarrassing situation.
Before I came in here today, I wondered if there was a talented dancer deep within me. The answer's no, but I feel like I can still do a lot better than maybe I thought I could.
That answer is also no. Now, didn't you see, Lisa, you watched last night. I watched your boyfriend. You saw terror on his face when he went out there to dance, right?
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing with his face. I kept going, where is Mike? Because he would have this weird grin on his face that he doesn't normally look like that when he smiles, but then he'd do something else.
But that whole situation is,
I think you're right, it was terrible.
No, the situation was last season, Kim. We're talking about Psycho Mike from last night.
So fish out of water, though. I mean, he doesn't belong anywhere near that competition.
I know, but he's been dancing for 3 weeks solid, but I can't imagine what that feels like.
Think about me doing that. I mean, come on.
No, it's so difficult.
It reminds me of those pageants that they have where they say to the girls, "You have to be smiling from your toenails up. You've got to be the biggest smile you've ever had," which is very unnatural looking, and it's also tough to do when you're trying to think of 80 other things while you're out there on the dance floor. And bear in mind, you not only don't know how to dance, you're not good at it, and you're doing it on national television live.
Yeah,
I mean, so much pressure.
Tell me he didn't dance to a song by Mike Posner.
I'm afraid he did select Cooler Than Me as the song that he danced to, and he did the Foxtrot last night. He did way better than I would ever do, and I give him mad credit for trying, but the judges perhaps not as impressed, and I guess that's what's up next here.
Well, Mike, you know, dancing is movement to music. You did move, and there was music. We're on the way here.
They're trying to be so nice on the first episode because nobody goes home. I mean, this is a learning experience. This is why it was important to vote for Mike last night, because those votes carry over to next week where he has a chance to dance a little better.
I voted my fingers off. I probably
not
voted
even
200 times.
Not once did you vote, and that's going to hurt Mike. That's going to hurt him bad. So there was music and there was movement is the best that judge number one could say.
But there was very little dance quality about it. But this season is great, because you've got a chance to redeem yourself next week. You've got to come back and really do a good jive, otherwise it's the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. So get on with it.
Yes, sir. This is basically telling a girl, it's okay, you've got a good personality.
Yeah,
it really is. He's trying to let him down very gently.
But he gave him a 1 week notice. He's like, look, you got a week. Good luck.
What's that judge's name? Is that Len? Is that who we just heard?
Mm-hmm. That was Len. Lisa?
Okay, now here comes Bruno.
All right,
he's
Bruno.
Right. The foxtrot is a smooth dance. It should glide. It should never, ever end. It should flow. And it was slightly ungainly. It was a little bit uncoordinated. And then, I don't know why, once you go and hold, you're all smiling. And then you give a look like... You look like you're constipated. What's that all about? Yeah. You've got to keep it going. I know it's hard. First time out is hard. Yeah. But, you know, you'll get better.
Carrie Ann?
Is he doing Bruno? I mean, is that a character that he plays on that show? Or does he really talk like that
all
the time?
He really talks like that all the time.
I don't know.
All right, so then you get to Carrie, who's so hot, by the way. Mm-hmm. And naturally, she's a girl. So she loves Mike, as all girls do.
I think you're a little hard on him. I think, you know, yeah, you're a little jerky. Obviously, you don't have a lot of dance experience by some of the pictures you hit. That one was a little... You kept up. You're a little jerky. The foxtrot is very smooth, so it's very noticeable how off you were because we're looking for smooth and you're sort of bopping around.
Yeah. All right, so the judge is not necessarily impressed, but they're trying to give him some encouragement. The last segment is when he gets his scores and we find out what Mike feels about his first dance.
Welcome back to Dancing with the Stars. Before the break, Mike and Lacey danced a foxtrot. Now, Mike, your mother is Irish and your father...
Vice versa.
Yeah, your mother...
Irish, mom's Mexican.
Mom's Mexican. Yeah. So were you counting on the Latin roots to help prepare you for this competition?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been in touch with them, but if one thing can bring them out, it's the dance floor. They really rumble out my cinnamon genetics.
Cinnamon genetics, by the way.
Wow.
First time that's ever been said on Dancing with the Stars, or perhaps ever in history.
How much fun have you been having with Mike?
I mean, as you can see, it's nonstop laughing. He, you know, tends to pull out parts of him that I don't want to see, but it happens.
It's true for all of us.
Did Mike text you the photo that he sent to me last week of him putting his testicles on Lacey's head?
No.
Yeah, that's what's going on in rehearsal. No kidding.
Well, no wonder he's not good.
Mike?
It's true. I mean, there's something about the dance that is just so sexual, it's so passionate that it forces me to disrobe.
And we're going to go to scores now.
Rick could not wait to get out of that interview and go to the scores before Mike started to say something on live TV that they didn't want. But
I like it.
Let's find out what the scores are.
On that note, I'm going to help you out here. Right. Scores leading.
Ladies and gentlemen, the judges' scores. Carrie Ann Inaba.
5.
Len Goodman.
4.
Bruno Tonioli.
4.
30. Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lucky number
13. 13 is not high, but it's better than my father, Master P, so I figure like I've done something to improve.
See, because Romeo, little Romeo, is one of the other contestants, you're sure, whose father is Master P, who used to be on the show.
Please tell me that he then looked at the judges and said,
you, you're cool. You, I'm out.
We are going to talk to Psycho Mike and find out what it was like from his perspective later on, coming up on the Kevin and Bean. I'm terrified that we're going to have the conversation after the top of the hour, but you heard what Lisa accidentally ate over the weekend. It came out of her dog's butt.
Accidentally, in air quotes.
Yeah.
We're going to be.
Give me some of that.
I love it.
Come here, snowflake. Come
we're
going to
be.
Gin.
We're going to be taking calls on the worst thing you accidentally ate coming up after the top of the hour. That's not going to be fun, right? No one's going to enjoy that, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a great time.
That's on the way on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
As is so often the case, music industry is stepping up. When charity needs to be, money needs to be raised for charity, there is a new charity album already in the works to benefit Japan's earthquake and tsunami victims. Justin Bieber and U2 have announced they will be appearing on the album.
Separately?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Full lineup of artists is not yet complete, but Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, and Bon Jovi have also already agreed to participate, so more details as we get them, but looks like there's going to be an all-star album to help raise money for benefiting Japan's earthquake and tsunami victims, which they certainly, of course, could use. I would like someone to raise some money for some water for one of those reactors, too, by the way, while they're at it.
It'd be nice, right?
Yeah. It's starting to boil there. Not a good sign for anybody.
It does seem like in 2011 we ought to have a better system than a guy standing outside the reactor with a hose. That's how we're doing it now. Just a guy with a hose.
The technique to keep from a nuclear meltdown in Japan is the same as a guy in the hills trying to keep his wood roof from catching on fire during fire season here in Los Angeles.
Neither works.
Same process, same results.
Look, if Jesus, my gardener, could handle the situation in Japan, you got to get some sort of a more sophisticated system.
Yes. Hey, it's Girl Scout cookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody enjoying their Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah.
A little too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore apparently loves Girl Scout cookies. Star Magazine's reporting that she spent $200 when a Girl Scout showed up at her front door. That's a lot of cookies.
Man, that's smart. They should all just have their moms take them to Beverly Hills.
They're like $4 a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We sell out in like 5 minutes.
50 boxes of cookies at Drew Barrymore's house. Apparently Thin Mints and Samoas was all she got.
Oh, Thin Mints.
Forget those Samoas.
What do you mean, forget those? Samoas. Thin Mint is the best.
No, it's not even close.
You are high.
Samoas are by far the best.
Samoas isn't even in the top three.
Oh, ridiculous.
Because you got to get through the do-si-dos.
Ridiculous.
And the tagalongs.
Ridiculous.
By the time you get to fried coconut, that's your choice for a cookie?
Best one.
Fried coconut?
You have monks on your side. Does that help?
Yes.
Oh,
all right.
He can't eat a lot, but he knows what he likes.
Samoans.
That's the best.
I have to dodge the Girl Scouts. They set up on both entrances to the supermarket on the island, and I have to try to get past them without them, you know, getting me to buy a box.
Yeah, God forbid you give money to the Girl Scouts of America. Right. Those bitches.
Oh.
With all the evil they do, they're like Al-Qaeda.
Beats doing right, the Marine crawl out of rice.
What's going on?
Who gives money to a guy who takes pictures of corn? He can't open his checkbook fast enough for that rat bastard. But for the Girl Scouts, Bean runs the other direction.
I have to wait just out of their peripheral vision until they get busy with somebody else, and then I just run right past them real fast so that they can't catch me.
Why do you do that?
It just... I don't know. I don't like having to be shaken down for cash just because I'm trying to go for some milk and eggs.
They're asking if you want to buy cookies.
You can nicely say no. I'm sure they get that a lot.
It's hard to say no. It's hard to say no to the Girl Scouts.
How about this? Give them a five spot. $5. Here you go.
Yeah.
Keep the change.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Just at this point, I've been trying to avoid it. We're still in the thick of the season, though, and eventually I think they're going to get me.
If I send you $5, will you give it to them?
That's not necessary. It's not that I don't have the money. I don't like to spend it. I don't like their techniques of blocking the entrance to force you to
they
go past them.
They're not a terrorist group. They're just little girls.
They're loan sharks is what it is, you know? Like they're going to break something if I don't cough up the money.
First of all, they could on you break something. Little girls could absolutely rough you up, but that's not how they operate.
I don't like it. I don't like their technique. I don't like their approach.
Nicely asking. That is rough.
Just saying.
How'd you like to go see the advanced screening of Source Code? Stars Jake Gyllenhaal, who's dreamy. Let's not forget that.
Sure.
Michelle Monaghan, Vera Farmiga, Jeffrey Wright. Great cast in this action thriller. We've got special tickets for the advanced screening that's happening at the Block of Orange on Wednesday, March the 30th. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-520.
1067. That's the number to call if you'd like to go. And it is Tuesday. It means new CDs and DVDs are available today. Angles by the Strokes, new Strokes CD is available today. The new Adam Lambert album, Glam Nation Live. You can pick that up. There's a new Duran Duran album on the streets.
That's where it's going to stay.
All you need is now. It's called. You can check that out. Awesome as F, the new CD and DVD set by Green Day is available. And Fame by Chris Brown also drops today. By the way, Chris was on Good Morning America this morning, and he performed a track off his new CD and then was interviewed by Robin Roberts about that whole Rihanna situation. And that's when he went ape-esque crazy and broke the window in his dressing room and stormed out of the studio without wearing a shirt. Really? And security had to be called after he freaked out. So
really?
Apparently all that anger management training is really paying off well for Chris Brown. He's got a grip.
He had to be prepared if he was going to be in an interview situation that somebody might bring that up. And he should have just had some sort of answer ready.
Of course. Brown went out of control.
I regret it, and I'm glad it's in the past.
Screaming so loud, people in the hair and makeup department became alarmed and called security. He smashed a window in his dressing room, and glass shattered down, and shards fell into 43rd and Broadway there in New York. So they weren't too happy with that.
All right.
No word yet on if he'll be charged. But he is on probation, keep in mind, for that felony beating, and he's required to obey all laws, so this could come back to bite him in the ass.
This isn't how you want to promote a new record.
Today's celebrity birthdays. William Shatner is 80 years old today. Sportscaster Bob Costas turns 59. Lena Olin is 56. Matthew Modine celebrates his 52nd birthday. Actress Reese Witherspoon is 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Lister, who has been portraying the part of Gary Busey on our show, unbeknownst to us the last couple of weeks. He now has come clean and admitted that he's a fake now that we have the real Gary Busey on, and we want to applaud him. We're going to talk to him live on the show next hour and find out why he did it. Also, director Zack Snyder will be on talking about his new film.
He did it because it was funny. That's why he did it. I love it.
Well, I would imagine. Well,
can't wait to talk to him.
Yesterday about this time, you were unfortunately listening to the Kevin and Bean show, and you heard a story that you're never going to be able to unhear. You're not going to be able to not think about for the rest of your life that Lisa May ate dog poop.
By accident. It's the poop eater.
Yeah, that is... I had bad thoughts about that all day long yesterday, Lisa. And weren't there some people who misunderstood the story and thought that somehow you were kinky and did it on purpose?
Yeah, I got one tweet. There was some guy was like, "You're so disgusting," and the fact that you did it intentionally, that makes it even worse.
Make it worse.
What?
Oh. She was sitting on a chair. Her dogs were sitting on the chair with her. She was eating dinner. She thought it was a piece of bread. It was an accident. That's the short version of the story.
Right.
And it took her mind about, 8 seconds to get around the fact that this isn't bread.
Yes.
And then things went horribly wrong.
So immediately after that, we got an email from a listener that I can't find now who said that he one time at a party drank out of a can of Coca-Cola. At least he thought it was his can of Coke. It turned out it wasn't. It was somebody else's can of Coke that they were using to spit their chew into.
Oh, that's nasty.
And, he had a mouthful of tobacco juice.
And now, someone spit.
Yes.
I have heard that happen before. That's a pretty common accidental thing to ingest. But that got me to thinking, we need to take some phone calls on this because I can't sleep until there's no one's going to have anything worse than what Lisa May put in her mouth.
I guarantee you will get somebody worse.
There is nothing worse though.
Yes, there is.
What's worse than that?
I guess it depends on who you are.
I would go with human.
Human?
Yeah, human,
Wouldn't that
beat it?
How do you do that accidentally?
Our listeners, are you kidding?
This is a terrible topic, and I'm already regretting it. Anyway,
I told you that yesterday. I was like, well, all we're going to get is gross calls.
We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Look, everybody has accidentally swallowed something or put something in their mouth that they didn't mean to. The only thing I can think of that ever happened to me, by the way, and you're going to find this hard to believe when you look at me, but there was a time when I rode a bicycle. And, and I know that's a hilarious visual for you because I'm, DJ Spina Bifida. But I was riding a bicycle one time, and I'm sure this has happened to everybody who rides a bicycle or a motorcycle, and I swallowed a fly. I mean, you get bugs in your face all the time when you're out there, especially in pre-helmet days, So I did swallow a fly, and it happened so fast, there was nothing I could do about it. about it, and it seemed incredibly gross. But in the big picture, a fly is not going to hurt you. It's not going to do anything.
No.
It was nothing. I used to ride my bike with my mouth open. Hoping.
On purpose?
Just hoping for a little extra.
Dear Kevin Abid, Hector writes in, one night when I was about 14 years old, I was lying in my bed watching TV, and I had a cup of soda. I looked inside, and I thought I saw a piece of ice. I went ahead and drank it. It turns out it wasn't a piece of ice at all, but it was a roach. It had fallen into my cup. Yes, I swallowed a cockroach.
Ooh. How does it look like a piece of ice?
He missed just seeing the glare bounce off the shiny shell or something.
Yeah, plus it's in Coca-Cola,
so
it's
like dark, yeah.
Blended or something like that. Here's one from Facebook, by the way. You can go to the Kevin Bean Facebook page if you want to play too. This is from Adrian. I once started eating a pack of salted crackers. When I was eating it, I was hearing a crunching noise. I looked down toward the package, and it was... Anyone want to guess?
No.
I don't know.
Maggots.
You to look at the two calls we have on hold already and tell me that we're not going to get worse than Lisa's story.
Oh, this is so bad.
Yep.
This is so bad.
Right. Hey, you're the one that insisted we do this.
Suck to Daniel Linetree. I hoped that Lisa May would feel better that she isn't the only corn nut who accidentally ate something she didn't mean to. But
I do feel better.
Daniel, what happened, dude?
I actually didn't realize it until after I opened the candy bar itself. It was a Chico stick. Remember with the peanut butter, those old school ones?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Live maggots. I didn't realize it until the last bite.
Maggots in your... What?
Live maggots in the candy bar.
How did you not notice till the last bite?
I noticed little white things, and I started licking it, and I was like, oh, no big deal. It's just part of the candy bar. It wasn't.
Why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening?
Wow.
Make it stop.
Because
make the bad man stop.
You're the one that insisted.
Now you listen
to these stories.
I ate a bunch of ants once because they'd gotten into a bag of chips, and I didn't even notice until I put the chip in my mouth and it started tasting weird.
A little extra protein is all ants.
You really notice it, though.
You do, yeah.
So creepy.
Well, you don't want your food to crawl.
No.
In general.
Daniel, what was your recourse on that? I mean, did you contact the company that put out the candy bar or anything like that?
Yeah, and they offered to send me a full entire box of Chico sticks.
Oh, yeah.
With or without maggots.
I said, I'm never eating a Chico stick again. I don't
eat
the maggots.
Oh, man.
That isn't good for you.
That is not good for you at all. Thank you very much, Daniel. All right, this was Kevin's idea.
How
I'm just warning you guys right now.
Yesterday, after the show, I was like, I don't want to do this. It's just going to be horrible. And he's like, oh, no. It'll be funny.
Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. We've already got Doug Coop, and we've already got maggots, and we've already got roaches. Good morning, everybody. Your call's coming up on the Kevin Abid Show.
Who's hung?
I think I'm going to be sick. This is the worst phone topic in the history of the Kevin Abid Show. And I want to apologize for all of our listeners on behalf of Kevin and his bright idea.
How dare you? I was the only one objecting yesterday.
Lisa May accidentally ate something that she shouldn't have, and that's the topic on the table at 1-800-520-1067. Joe writes in, Bean, sorry I can't call. I'm at work listening, though. I actually drank my own brother's pee. We were sharing a soda a few years ago while working outside. I guess he finished the drink and had to pee. When I drank it, I thought, damn, that's some salty soda. Then my brother said, no! I knew I had effed up at that point. See, don't do that, is what I'm saying. All right, what do we have time for? Where do you want to go?
I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to talk to any of these people.
How can you say that? How can you not want to talk to Carla on line two? Hey, Carla, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. What did you accidentally eat?
My boyfriend was really sick with bronchitis, and I guess he had been spitting into his loogies into a cup next to my bed.
All right.
And I got up in the middle of the night and thought it was my glass of water.
Okay, now that's horrible, but did you also get sick from it?
I did. It was about halfway down my throat when I realized.
All right, heard enough. Heard enough.
Good. Oh, no.
Excellent.
Awful.
God. All right, you happy, Bean?
Sarah, line three, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Believe me, we're going to feel worse for hearing it. You're going to feel better for confessing it and getting it off your chest.
Hi, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi. What'd you eat?
I don't know if my story's as good as pee or loogies, but...
By the way, let me just butt in 1 second, sir, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We have enough pee stories.
Okay.
Apparently, Alex told me during the Offspring song that we're turning people away by the hundreds.
Okay.
All right, so that's been covered.
All right, isn't pee or loogies.
Go ahead.
We used to ash our cigarettes in water bottles, and so one time I drank a water bottle full of cigarette butts and cigarette ash, and it was absolutely disgusting. And as soon as it hit your mouth, you know you did something wrong.
Yeah. Bad.
Sweet.
Man.
Very bad. Thank you for the call. Let's try Caesar. Caesar, line 8. Now, Caesar, not something that came out of somebody else's body for a change. Caesar,
oh, fantastic.
What'd you eat?
A bloody bandage.
Yes! Oh, come on!
God!
Where was this?
I was eating a
Stop it.
Pizza, and I thought it was like a tough piece of pepperoni, and then I pulled it out, and, let's just assume it was tomato sauce to make it feel better.
Thank you. Oh, it was a Band-Aid. Man. It was a Band-Aid.
That isn't good for you.
Thank you. Susan writes in, hey, Kevin, to me, long story short, when I was a kid, my mom or dad, for some reason, decided to save the blood from a roast they had cooked. No idea why. I guess they were going to cook with it later. It was one of those old yellow Tupperware plastic glasses in the fridge. I was a kid then. I thought that it was grape juice, and I took a big old swig. Just like Lisa said with her incident, I knew in about 3 seconds I was in trouble. I knew it was blood. That is no bueno, right?
Yes. No bueno. Easily. Let's go to Jay.
What did you do?
Oops, sorry. There we go.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, I ate dog in Mexico.
What?
Yeah.
You ate a dog?
Not a whole dog, but I had dog tacos without knowing. I thought it was chicken. I probably had about 8 over a 3-day time period.
Nice.
Wow.
So you loved them. They were really good. Eight of them.
They were pretty good without knowing, but right. Looking back now, it's pretty gross. I found out it was dog when I walked around the backside of the tarp, and I saw all the
No.
I don't want to hear. I don't want to know what enough. She found on the other side.
You went around the tent. We got it. All bad
what
things t- happen.
Never go around the tent.
Never look, look behind the tent in a Mexican taco stand. That's the advice from today's show. What kind of dog was it?
No, come on, Bean.
A little one? I mean, maybe Chihuahua-ish? I don't know.
But why? You don't raise Chihuahuas. You have to kill so many of them to make tacos because they're so little. I don't know. It just doesn't seem economical to me. All right. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
You want to
close? We got to close with Hilda. We got to find out what Hilda's story is. First of all chicks named Hilda are hot. I know that.
Can we be done before Hilda? I'm just putting it out there.
Hi, Hilda. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you eat?
Hi. I ate worms that were coming out of my cat.
What?
Now,
how did that happen?
What? What happened?
Now, wait a minute. Here's my question. A, how do you know that if you didn't see it? And B, if you saw it, why would you eat it?
I was sitting down eating a couple noodles. My cat was on the floor. I thought I had dropped a little piece of the noodle. I picked it up and I put it in my mouth, and it never seemed to break down. It was like I was chewing on something rubbery. That's what I realized.
And it was a worm that came out of your cat.
Okay, all right, okay.
That's very similar to my story.
Wow. Yes, it is. Hilda. Oh, Hilda. Is that the low point of your whole life?
Yes. The lowest point of my entire life.
Wow, now it's the lowest point of mine. Thank you. Congratulations to Ken Lepore from Southgate. Just got tickets for Rise Against, and it's qualified for that meatless barbecue. Go to krock.com for details. It is 7:36.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Last night, our little friend Psycho Mike Catherwood made his debut on Dancing with the Stars. Thank God nobody gets voted off this week, so he gets another chance to dance next Monday. We'll talk to Mike coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, producer Alex found this story yesterday that I thought was fascinating. I mentioned earlier, I don't use the voice feature on GPS. I do have a GPS system in my car, but I just like the maps. I don't like the talking.
You want to just look at it.
I just like to look at the map because I know how to read a map, and it does give you directions, step-by-step directions, and I don't like it to interfere with whatever I'm listening to on the radio or whatever. But a lot of people are into the voice part. They think that makes it a little bit easier. They can concentrate it, you know, easier if it's just the voice telling them where to turn.
I go comedy, though. I mean, I go British, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, governor. Hang a right. I don't really do voices, but, you know, and then you do Chinese, and you go, I have no idea where I'm going now. But this company that Bean's talking about actually uses celebrities.
And I think that is really, really interesting. I mean, I might turn on the voice feature if I could get William Shatner, for instance, to give me directions. I think that would be a lot of fun. But this company has just added Gary Busey to the roster of their GPS celebrity voices. Of course, he's very popular again because of Celebrity Apprentice. They also have David Hasselhoff in their stable. They've got no Charlie Sheen yet, right? I think they're probably trying to get Charlie Sheen. Flavor Flav is one of the voices. And I don't know. I mean, I think that does make it kind of interesting if there's a celebrity, particularly if it's somebody that you're really – I mean – if you're really into the celebrity, it would be kind of fun to have them talking to you all the time when you're driving.
Gary Busey says the following, though. Is this what you want to interrupt your music? Hi, my name is Gary Busey, and if you ever get bored, just honk at geese. Okay. At that point, I go, all right, I'm out. But we wondered what these celebrity GPSs would sound like, so we downloaded a few of them. This is Gary Busey.
Oh, we do have the one from Wonderlust. That's awesome.
What it would sound like if he was doing your GPS.
Hey, there's Gary Busey. In about 30 feet, you're going to make a left. Left, of course, is L-E-F-T. Live every day for tomorrow. You just missed your turn. Okay, and in about another 15 feet, you're going to make a right. R-I-G-H-T.
Uh-oh.
Reality involves grabbing happiness today. You just missed your turn again.
He's got to start a little further out than 15 feet.
I think so. That would sound like a lot of work to try to keep up with that one.
I was not aware of this. Charlie Sheen is part of this deal.
Oh, they got him. Okay, great.
This is Charlie Sheen. You're going to make a turn now. Winning. Duh. Left turn. Right turn. Make a right at the Warlock. Charlie Sheen.
How's that helpful? That doesn't sound like I'm going to get anywhere.
Tough to keep up.
David Hasselhoff, Celebrity GPS.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is David Hasselhoff. You know, I'm used to my car talking to me, but now I'm talking for your car. All right, at about 30 feet, you're going to get off the freeway. Yeah, David Hasselhoff. In about 20 feet, I want you to make a left. Because there's a liquor store up there on the right, so could you pick me up some vodka? And I don't really drink anymore, but every once in a while I like to just have a sip. Just
don't. No, this is.
That's good. Oh, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Oh, this is a mess. You're driving like a mess. Oh, this stop sign. Just go through it. Just go through the stop sign. Oh, this is a mess. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Right. Yeah, you don't want that when you're trying to drive. That's no good.
But do you want Rebecca Black?
Yes, I do. The Little Girl Sings Friday.
Right turn, right turn. You're going to make a right turn and stay in the left hand at the Y. Right turn, right turn. Then you make a left turn. And then you'll have to choose which lane to stay in.
You guys think Psycho Michael answers his phone when we call him? Or do you think he's swinging from a rope somewhere?
No, he'll answer his phone.
I think he'll have one of the hot chicks that's with him answer the phone.
Petra Nemkova is going to answer the phone. Yeah, yeah. Roll over and hand it to Mike.
Yeah, that's his dancing robot answer the phone. That's what I think. He'll just send the dancing robot over to answer the phone. Hello, I am Dancing Mike. Can I help you?
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Because You Insist. Also, Mumford & Sons. That one's for Kevin. And Queens of the Stone Age, all coming up on the Kevin DeBean Show. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
There are injustices in the world at every turn.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see them and you say, I can't fight this fight. This is not my fight.
Bieber.
I'm just going to have to let this one go by. Maybe someone else will pick up the torch, but I can't. And then sometimes you see things that are so heinous, so horrible, so against every atom of your nature that you just can't help but cry out, I will not stand for this.
You just don't have a choice.
That's right. Such is the next story.
All right.
I don't know if you've seen the trailer for the new movie, Your Highness, starring James Franco.
I'm not.
And Natalie Portman.
I'm in.
It's a
I'm in
historical
on all...
comedy, stoner comedy.
All right.
With who's Eastbound and Down?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride.
Ralph turned to
Kevin
me for an
came
answer,
up with
and
a name.
I had it. Come on, everybody.
What's going on?
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it was a stoner comedy. I figured I had a chance. Kevin would actually know what I was talking about. So the three of them are in this movie. There is a trailer for this movie. A very funny trailer. Looks good. There is a scene in the trailer where Natalie Portman is getting into a pool of water. This is like a medieval comedy, right? Where they're on some kind of quest and, you know, sword and sorcery, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
She's getting into a pool of water and she is stripped down to just the barest of thongs, the skimpiest of thongs. This is just butt floss, basically, of her getting into the water.
That's so hot.
Well, it's just been announced today that trailer has been digitally altered to replace that thong with a full bikini bottom covering Natalie Portman's ass in the trailer.
No! Do you think she saw it or something?
No, she didn't see it. This is the producer's choice, Kevin.
Oh.
They altered the scene in the trailer so that they feel the trailer would be shown to a wider range of audiences in all different kinds of theaters with all different kinds of ratings.
Oh, I see.
Even though the film is an R, they want to put it in front of Hop, I guess, so the kids can watch it. And so what they're doing is they've digitally altered her ass and covered it up.
That's the sign of the apocalypse.
That shall not stand, sir.
I agree.
You do not take the perfection that is Natalie Portman's ass. And how often do we really get to see it in a tiny, tiny little thong bikini before she hops into a pool of glistening, cool water? Very rarely.
Not often enough.
That's what I'm saying. So then you're gonna go with some sort of computer wizardry and cover up that perfect ass?
Use your computer wizardry to make it completely go away.
There's a picture of her in here.
Oh, it's so
much
better.
With the butt floss in here wearing some sort of leather bikini bottom thing that they've superimposed on her butt. That's not right.
And I remember when I saw these pictures, Ralph, it's not like she's naked or anything like that. I mean,
no.
it's the kind of small bikini that a woman would wear on any beach in the country.
Yes!
It's not at all obscene or pornographic.
No!
we're basically looking at Poland 1939 right
That's
now.
What
That's
I'm
what
saying.
This is.
Here's it's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
It is, sir. Wearing the trucker hat, I agree with you. How dare they?
How dare they indeed?
We must take a stand. We must draw a line in the sand. There are things we cannot put up with.
I agree, but have you noticed that our lines in the sand mean nothing to anyone but us?
Yes. Doesn't mean we have to stop drawing them, though.
All right. Let's draw.
That's the beauty of sand. You can draw a line, and then someone comes by and just covers it up, then you can just draw another line.
All right.
The beauty of sand. It's like an endless tablet of writing paper. You can just keep using it over and over again. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Right.
I hope you are as successful as you were with stopping Willow Smith whipping her hair back and forth.
And as I was with Bieber when I impeded the Beeb.
Right, right. Yes.
And in squashing Chelsea Handler's career.
Yep.
All of my campaigns that have gone wildly, wildly.
Very successful.
Wildly successful. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Justin Bieber, speaking of one of my failed campaigns, he is just about to overtake Michael Jackson in having the world's most successful concert movie.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
MJ's concert movie made a little over $72 million domestically here in the States back in 2009. Bieber's Never Say Never has pulled in just over $72.2 million. So he's already...
Bieber!
He's already beat him here in the States, and now he's going for world domination. And in a couple weeks, we'll have the most successful concert film ever released. I'd like to thank Bean and the other members of the of NAMBLA, who made it all possible, or else there's no way they could have raised that kind of cash. So.
Hey, it's a good movie.
Stop it.
I didn't see the Michael Jackson movie. That may also have been a good movie, but I do know the Bieber movie was good.
So these are the choices the man makes. That's all I'm saying. Stop it. Bean's going to sit in there watching Bieber with his Eddie Vedder ukulele album on his earbuds and just pretend the rest of us don't exist because we don't know what we're talking about. It's us, he says.
Yep.
Bruce Valanche. Movie with Bruce Valanche, who's one of the writers of the Oscars this year.
Yeah.
He's a big, morbidly obese, hideously ugly man.
Yes.
He looks like Brian Posehn if Brian gained about 200 pounds.
Yeah. He looks like some sort of gnome or troll from a fairy tale.
Mixed with a mountain man.
Yes.
Sort of.
He was talking about James Franco as host of the Oscars this week in New York Magazine, saying basically that Franco effed it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you think he gave exactly what he had and they shouldn't have hired him?
If I was a writer of a show, I would be not so quick to blame the person who's performing my material if it didn't go over so well. I would be a little chagrined, perhaps, and back off the subject matter, thinking maybe I didn't put the best stuff I could about that.
I didn't think it worked, but I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame Franco, because they asked him to do it. He did it.
That's what I'm saying.
What do you think you're getting?
He says that James didn't realize how big a deal it is to host the Oscars and showed up just on Thursday night before Sunday's show. Wasn't there. Didn't do enough prep, according to Bruce Valanche. But when you're dealing with material like that, you really, it's like Shakespeare. You have to set aside a couple months for rehearsal. Well, James answered on Twitter on Monday afternoon regarding that article, posting, "Bruce, you let me down," and had a photoshopped picture of himself and Bruce Valanche backstage at the Oscars, which he scrawled all over, "James effed up the Oscars. Trust me, I know comedy. I mean, come on, I write for Bette Midler," coming out of Bruce Valanche's mouth. So apparently that's a friendship that is not.
It's on.
That is on.
You did get the impression that Anne Hathaway was far better prepared. That's for sure.
I think her specific skill set lends itself more towards hosting and performing in front of a live audience than James Franco's does. I think it was a poor choice to begin with.
Plus, right. Franco's just got the one arm, so that holds it back, too.
That's just a movie. Just a movie.
Michael Lohan was arrested last night.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
People wonder what's wrong with Lindsay. She never had a chance with this family.
She really
didn't. He was arrested in West Hollywood for getting physical with his current girlfriend.
Oh, man.
Physical in a good way or in a bad way?
In
what
a bad
do you
way.
Think he was arrested.
Oh. Domestic violence. Also was arrested for not allowing her to call 911. He was restraining her. And so they charged him with that. And apparently a couple other charges. So police tracked him down and arrested him, and he's being held as we speak.
What an idiot.
Yeah. But then again, who is this girl who is living with this guy, too?
Yeah, but no one deserves
it. No, I'm not saying physical violence, but you don't. Given
you didn't
a choice,
hit the mother load with
you. Don't enter into a relationship with Michael Lohan,
right?
Given any choice?
I agree.
For a number of reasons, the least of which is the fact that he's got anger issues, right? Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Reese Witherspoon's 35 years old today. Matthew Modine celebrates his 52nd birthday. Lena Olin is 56. William Shatner celebrates his 80th birthday today. It is officially International Talk Like William Shatner Day. So make sure you take that to work with you this morning.
You're the only one here that can pull that off.
Everyone can pull it off. It's magic.
Bean, let's hear a little William Shatner.
I can't do impressions.
See? But everyone can do it.
But
it's not hard.
You'd be hard-pressed to find an 80-year-old in any field who works as hard as Bill.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
True.
And Bob Costas, legendary sportscaster Bob Costas, is 59 years old today. Not everyone thinks Bob's a great guy. Some people.
Bob's a dick. Dick.
Think otherwise.
Dick. Bob's a dick. Dick.
Introduction.
Dick. He's a dick. Dick. Dick.
Intro first.
Bob's
before
a giant dick.
Usually he introduced the band before dick. You go into the song. Dick.
Should we start again?
No, no. Feel free.
Bob's a dick. Dick.
Lady didn't
dick.
Wait for me.
Bob's a dick.
I was going to run.
Dick. Dick. What a giant big dick. Such a dick.
This guy does not like Bob Costas.
No, he does not.
Dick, dick, dick. 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 Dick, dick, dick. 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 Dick, dick, dick. Bob is a dick. Dick.
All right, what if I told you it wasn't half over yet?
I'd say Bean wanted to hear it.
He's a dick. 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 What a dick. Dick, dick, he's an asshole and a dick. He's a giant big dick. What a dick, dick, dick. Bob's a dick.
Halfway now.
All right,
halfway
good.
Now.
Good.
Should I continue?
I think the point has been made. Omar doesn't care for Bob Costas.
And that was a long distance dedication from Omar to Bean Baxter. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk to the guy who's been prank calling us as Gary Busey. We finally got a hold of the real Gary Busey yesterday. We'll talk to the guy who's been punking us in about a half an hour or so right here on the program. Also, we talked to Zack Snyder, co-writer and director of the new film Sucker Punch. That's coming up. First, though, if you're watching ABC television last night, you heard these words.
Live! This is the season 12 premiere of Dancing with the Stars.
Well, Psycho Mike. Dancing with the Stars plus Psycho Mike, to me, that's just rude. Why single him out for some sort of abuse before he's even danced his first step? But we welcome Mike Catherwood from season 12 of Dancing with the Stars, a guest we've been wanting to have on for a long time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike, what a pleasure to meet you.
Well, you ask why they single me out, and that's because not only am I low on the totem pole on celebrity status,
right?
Clearly, I'm very low on the totem pole when it comes to dancing ability as well.
All right, here's my question.
Would you like to take that bang?
Oh, no. I mean, look.
Would you like to take that bang?
It's disappointing to be judged poorly at anything you do.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody wants to. But there's absolutely zero doubt in my mind that I was not the worst dancer last night.
You are absolutely right.
Oh, interesting that you would say that publicly being on the show, because we as the home viewer can certainly agree with you, and certainly, but I'm surprised you can say that being still on the show. You're going to have to look at Wendy Williams next week, and she knows you're talking smack about her.
I'm not naming names, and I'm not even necessarily saying it was Wendy, but I can sit and look at it. As you, the viewer, I also, as a competitor, I had to sit through the entire show last
right.
night. So you don't just, like, hang on the trailer and then come out and dance. And so, like, I watched everybody. And don't get me wrong, some people are really, really good. And some people, you know, deserve to be really feel good this morning.
Are you in that category?
No, but, I mean, at the same time, I knew going in, too, though, that, I mean, I'm not a very good dancer.
Right.
But at the same time, it's, like, it's weird because I didn't think, if you were to tell me yesterday, an hour before I danced, you're going to get the lowest score. Yesterday, I would have told you, oh, well, big deal. Now, and looking back, you're like, now you get, like, motivated. You get wrapped up in it. You want to, like, prove Bruno wrong. I want to rock his face off with my dancing ability.
I'm surprised Bruno didn't fall deeply in love with you and give you a high score just to impress you so you guys could meet up after the show.
I was like a little disappointed that I didn't like strike some romance with Bruno.
Now, yeah, Mike, no kidding.
Mike, I didn't technically watch the show because the Kings were on. But I did fast forward to your part. And when the judges were standing in front of you and they were judging you, I was like, F you! All of a sudden, I'm all defensive of you.
did you think they were fair, Mike?
I mean, I have no way of knowing because I don't know anything about dance. And I certainly know that from a perspective of a professional dancer like the three judges, of course I'm not good. But again, I would like to reiterate, I'm sure there was a lot of people up there that were not good, you know? So I don't know how, it's hard to say, and I will say this, that like the dance I did last night, the Foxtrot, it's all based, I guess, in being elegant and graceful, which is far and away what I'm not good at, you know? So hopefully the more like energetic, faster, more athletic stuff, I'll be better at. But
right.
Yeah, and I've certainly watched the show before and seen people who their first week was really rough for a variety of reasons, and they got a lot better. And
but
I
think, celebrities?
And it depends on the dance, as Mike pointed out.
I think Mike got some points taken off for not being a celebrity as well.
Now, Mike, let me ask you this question, and this is the voice of Mike Catherwood, who is formerly of the Kevin and Bean Show, and maybe joining us again in studio starting next Wednesday. He's on Dancing with the Stars Season 12. Ralph is not in studio, but he has a theory that he's very, very serious about, that you were replaced with a robot dancer last night, and the robot did you no favors. Is that true?
No, I'm just not. You're not a good dancer to begin with, and then you go out there, and it's really weird because I can't honestly describe how loud it is in there. The crowd is going so effing berserk.
Yeah, that drives me crazy for 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, it really is that loud. I don't think they're sweetening it. I mean, it's unbelievable how loud it is in there. And then you've listened to this song, the same song, over and over and over again for 3-4 weeks, right? And then you get in there, and now they're doing it in, like, a symphony version, which is half as loud and half as, like powerful. And there's 10,000 screaming people crammed into a sound studio with terrible acoustics. So you start to go, like, oh, my gosh, I've never heard this song and this version, and now I'm starting to, like, try to apply my steps to this music, and then it just becomes this overwhelming thing. And then you're 10 seconds into the song, and you say, I can't see, I can't hear, might as well just go for it.
Can I translate? Do you mind if I translate for our listeners?
Yeah.
It's everyone else's fault.
No, whatever challenges you're describing, certainly the other contestants are going through the same thing, Mike. Look, the first week is tough. You've been upfront on the show and with us that you've never danced before. We understand. You're going in there at a real disadvantage. But the beauty about the way the thing is set up is I know you got a lot of votes last night because I saw the Kevin and Bean listeners, and I'm sure your Loveline listeners too, were really out in force last night. Everyone I know, with the exception of Kevin, by the way, voted
How
for you, at least 12 times, Mike. I mean, we really were letting our fingers fly to text your votes in last night. And that's going to help you. That's going to carry over to next week. If you can dance better next week, there's an excellent chance that you won't be eliminated. Because you're right. You got some other people in that competition who aren't very good, too.
Yeah. And, honestly, let's say I do get the boot next week, which is very possible. The one thing that I come away with that has just been so unbelievably touching is the fact that the Kevin Bean listeners and Loveline supporters and everything have just been so supportive, even before the voting started, just emailing me and texting me and calling the show and stuff. It really, I couldn't believe it, because you come from, you know, the environment where people show you appreciation by making fun of you.
Right.
It's just really, I can't believe how great the listeners have been. And that's something I'll take away with me for the rest of my life. It's been awesome.
It is touching, and I'd like to play one of those listeners right now, if you don't mind. Because this is the kind of support I think Mike is talking about.
Seriously, Mike, it's really hard to pull for you when you look that bad. Christy Alley is like 500 pounds more than you and can actually move her feet. And a transvestite Wendy Williams is better. That's really bad. I had a hard time voting for you, but you look good.
All right. You look good.
Okay, maybe that's not the call we should have put. Oh. What I like about Psycho Mike, and it's nice to hear you with all the warm, fuzzy thoughts for your listeners and for your old pals, Kevin and Bean. What I like is that you never stop mentioning the Kevin and Bean show and all the publicity and all the press that you do for Dancing with the Stars. Oh, wait, I forgot. No. You've eliminated it from your resume completely.
That's just downright not true.
I would like to say that's a good decision. No one's ever gotten further in life by mentioning us. I think that's the right...
deemed me Loveline's lover boy, and ABC has somehow rode that one all the way into the sunset. But, you know, when I'm doing the interviews with, like, the hot chicks on the red carpet, I always seem to plug the fact that I would be nowhere in life without good old Kevin and Bean.
Sure.
Hey, before we go, and we're almost out of time here, Psycho Mike, is Petra Nemkova the hottest chick that ever lived?
She's one of those chicks that, like, it makes you conscious of your behavior every time you're around her. She's that hot, you know?
Yeah.
I have a follow-up. Is Kirstie Alley the hottest chick that has ever lived?
But honestly, she's not even anywhere close to as big as Wendy Williams. You know, like, it's not even competitive.
Oh, really?
And I mean, Kirstie really has lost a lot of weight since the beginning. Like, I don't know her or anything, like, but just from the day they announced the cast to last night, Kirstie Alley's had to have lost like 70 pounds. So,
oh my God,
she gave it to Wendy.
All right, Psycho Mike. So, what dance are you doing next Monday night? And is that where you're heading right now? Is back into rehearsals with Lacey?
Yeah, I'm actually on my way to do press stuff and then go rehearse. But I'm doing the jive.
The jive.
The jive.
Which I guess is like a fast-paced dance, and they had to edit out like this piece last night when they asked me, so, you're doing the jive, what do you know about it? And I said, that's the language the black guys speak in airplane.
In airplane, the movie? Of course they edited that out.
Although you did get in a great hit last night when you talked about your 13 score was the lowest of the night, but at least you did better than your dad, Master P, when he was on the show, and that was very funny, Mike.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we got to go. I know you're very, very busy. We appreciate you coming on with us today. Is there anything else we can do besides continuing to urge people to vote for you come Monday night?
No. Honestly, guys, I always have appreciated the support you give me since I've met you. And both of us? And, of course, you too, Lisa.
Thank you. Oh, Lisa mentioned.
Yeah. Mike, I would like to suggest one thing. You did look afraid of Lacey last night. You looked scared to touch her.
I think I still am. To be fully forthcoming.
Get over that.
I know.
You should be touching like a crazy man. They should say, stop touching her so much.
This show really exposes, like, how bad I am with the lid is.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, listen, we got to go. Good luck in rehearsals, and we'll talk to you again soon. And, of course, you'll be back in the studio next Wednesday, so we'll look forward to catching up.
All right, brother.
Take care, Mike. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel named the Afro line 323-520-AFRO. That's our voicemail. You call us 24 hours a day. Leave a message. We play them back on the radio. What are folks talking about today?
Well, you watched Dancing with the Stars. Did Petra Nemkova break down and cry or something like that? Because that's
she's very sad because while they were rehearsing, the news came in about the tsunami in Japan. And remember, she lived through the tsunami in Thailand. So it was very emotional for her, very difficult for her to concentrate on dancing when there was all that going on.
And our listeners are very sensitive. So this came in.
I can't focus on dancing with so many people suffering. I would love to dedicate this dance to all the people suffering in Japan.
Shut up. Psycho Mike's going to kick your ass.
Don't ever say a bad thing about my girlfriend, Petra Nemkova.
Bean had a pet peeve and spent an entire weekend tweeting people and emailing about daylight saving time.
Yes.
Well, the rest of us say daylight savings. But he must correct, and that's what this guy called about.
Yes, I actually did some university-level research on daylight saving time, and my research indicated that nobody gives a
That's funny. That's my research as well.
That is the common answer. That's at 90% of the poll.
Lisa May ate...
Ingested
bad things from her dog. Okay, yes. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
Lisa May's to-do list. Eat and die. Oh, wait. Check one of those off.
Lisa, I can't believe that you admitted that story. I can't believe you didn't keep that a secret that you took to your grave.
Well, I knew you guys would enjoy that very much.
Oh, we enjoyed it so
much. The first thing I thought was, I got to tweet about that and tell Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, I really made my life, my week. Text a landline message about that.
When I eat poop, I get crazy. I love poop. I love it so much. Stupid Tammy.
Oh, Tammy, that's how could you?
Stupid Tammy. I guess Lisa May said something last week about $80 and stuff she would do for $80.
I don't know.
That's what this is about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Hold on a sec. 20, 30, 7, 75. Yeah, $80. I got $80. Should I meet you in the parking lot, or how do we do this?
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
Right.
Wow. That's fantastic.
That's a good deal, right?
Yeah. This is... Well, you'll recognize it.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Yeah, thanks to your show, now I can't get that freaking song out of my head. And guess what? Now it's Saturday, the day after Friday. You know what, guys? F*** you, Kevin. F*** you, Bean. F*** you, Ralph. Lisa May, you cool.
F***
you, Omar. I'm out.
Ah, sweet banjos. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:39.
Director Zack Snyder joins us after the top of the hour talking about his new movie, Sucker Punch. He's the director of the upcoming Superman movie, too, don't you know, Kevin?
How about
Zack's
that?
Got a lot going on.
Yep.
Right now, though, I'm very, very excited. This is the final piece in the puzzle, I think, to the Gary Busey mystery that's been on the Kevin and Bean Show for the past 3 weeks or so. We talked to a guy a couple of times that could have been Gary Busey, thought it might be Gary Busey, turned out wasn't Gary Busey. The guy was punking us. Then we had the real Gary Busey on yesterday, and after that interview happened, we got an email from the guy who's been playing Gary Busey, and his name is Greg. He apparently is a Kevin and Bean fan, and we are happy to welcome him to the show. Hey, Greg, how are you, man?
What it do, nephew?
First of all, give it up.
Nice.
Give it up for Greg. Come on.
Nice work.
You provided a great deal of entertainment for us and a great deal of arguing in the office, too, about whether you were the real Gary Busey. Please, take us through it. How did it happen?
Well, I'll tell you, it's I've always kind of had a knack for doing voices, doing celebrity impressions. And about a year ago, I answered a Craigslist ad about doing a Gary Busey impersonation. Never thought I could do it. Started watching some YouTube video of Gary Busey and thought, maybe I can't do it.
I'm sorry, but I just need to butt in. Who's advertising on Craigslist that they need a Gary Busey impersonator?
Even worse, who's answering those ads?
I mean, that is an awfully kinky sexual fantasy.
Sure.
Right.
So yeah, you learned you could do it.
I learned I could do it, and I learned what a freeing experience it is to do a Gary Busey impersonation, because you get to say whatever you want.
Sure.
So I started doing that, and then once I heard that Celebrity Apprentice was going to be on and that he was going to be on the show, I thought, how can I finally turn this into something that's funny or actually use it? So I
well
said
done.
I'm calling to Kevin and Bean.
Well done.
And just do the Gary Busey impersonation and see where it goes.
Now, here's the first call when you talk to us about our show.
First and foremost, I'd like to say how big of a fan I have been for years, and I'm so glad to finally be on the Soylent Green Show.
All right.
And by the way, you picked the perfect guy to try to prank us with, because Gary Busey is enough of a loose cannon that it is believable that he, outside of dealing with his publicist and the whole machine with NBC and everything, he's the kind of guy who would pick up the phone and just randomly start calling radio stations to do interviews. And I'm sure you factored that in, right?
I did factor that in, and I also factored in that NBC would probably be a little bit happier to have somebody else doing Gary Busey interviews than Gary Busey.
Now, Greg, what about the first time you called when producer Alex would not put you through to go on the air? Did you think that it wasn't going to happen then?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a roller coaster ride these past couple weeks. The first call, you know, I'd taken notes on the Celebrity Apprentice show on Sunday, called in on Monday on my way to work, and I just figured, all right, well, here's the chance. I'll go ahead and do it. So I get Alex on the phone, and she says, okay, well, let me take your cell phone number.
Sweet.
Or a phone number I can reach you, and I'm going to get it verified, check out a couple things, and then we'll get back to you. And I was like, well, that's it. I gave her my cell phone number, and I figured, well, you know, I gave it a shot, and, you know, I guess it's not going to happen. And then the next day I hear you guys on the air berating Alex in the studio for not putting Gary Busey through, it's back on.
Let me tell you what's funny, though. Let me tell you what's funny is that she contacted NBC, and somebody over there said, yes, that's Gary Busey's cell phone number. So
I think Gary Busey is the project manager over at NBC.
And so after Alex didn't put you through, back when we were thinking you were the real Gary Busey, that's when Kevin was on vacation. Ralph and I went on the air. We said, okay, we have a new policy now. I want to make sure everybody knows. If Gary Busey calls, we break into programming. He goes on the air no matter what else we're doing, because we can't wait to talk to Gary Busey. And I guess that's why you decided you were going to call in again, and that's exactly what we did, is we broke in. And I think we've got another piece of tape from Greg as Gary Busey.
I act every day. If I can find out a character, I'll get out there on the streets and I'll act around town and entertain the people. But what it is that I've got alien DNA and monkey blood. What that basically means is I can throw my own excrement and then vaporize it.
I think that was a misstep, Greg. I got to tell you.
But funny.
It was very funny, but I think it was a little too sharp. Gary Busey, God bless him, has brain damage and isn't that sharp. And right, I think had you not gone quite that far, we would have talked to you all season.
Yeah. Well, I was pounding my head into the wall to try and get some brain damage before the phone call. it didn't work too well.
But is that the line that you were trying to walk? Is how can I sound crazy but also sharp and be funny at the same time without without giving it away? I mean, that's a very difficult thing to do.
That's exactly right. You know, you sit there, and like I said, I'd watched and taken notes on the show, but most of that stuff came to me actually in the shower the morning before the call. And I said, went out and ran it by my girlfriend and said, is that funny? And she goes, that's good.
Yeah, it is, but it's a bit too funny for the real Gary.
Greg, you can't believe, honestly, you can't believe, you would love to know how many of man hours you've wasted on our show with us debating this. I'll give you a perfect example. The second time we talked to you, I went off and started asking you about something else, and you said, hey, I want to get back to Celebrity Apprentice. And after we hung up, I said to the guys, I said, I think he had Celebrity Apprentice material prepared, and that's why he wanted to talk about it. That proves it's the fake Gary Busey. And then Ralph said, and this is the kind of debate we had all the time, yeah, but he's probably doing tons of interviews for Celebrity Apprentice. He probably knows the questions he's going to be asked. So, yeah, he wants to be a good interview, so he's got material ready to go. I mean, every time we had you on, we went back and forth on, what do you guys think? It was very funny.
That was so funny because after that Bobcat Goldthwait interview, well, the first time I called in, I hung up about four or five times.
Oh, right, because Bobcat asked you, he had a meeting with you.
And I'm like, what's the chances in the studio? And he's not using his voice as, you know.
Right.
So So I didn't even really put it together that was Bobcat in the studio. And so once we got on and he starts asking me about, you know, when's the last time I saw you? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going nowhere.
Right. You're going to get busted. Right.
But then then you were talking gibberish and we said, well, it's possible. I mean, Gary Busey really does. He got in a motorcycle accident without a helmet and hit his head and really does have brain damage. Right. I mean,
let's cut the guy some slack.
Yeah. Right. So now we're having this argument. Bean was pretty much the only voice for a long time going, guys, I don't think it's him. And the rest of us are like, dude, come on now.
Greg, do you do anything in entertainment? Do you work with your voice at all?
I do some voiceover work. I've been taking some improv classes at Second City, things like that. But for the most part, I'm a printing salesman. And
printing salesman, all right.
That's my day job. But
well, you provide us with a lot of entertainment.
It was a lot of fun this last couple of weeks.
It's really been so much fun for us. And I know a lot of shows get really upset when they get punked. But look, we don't care if we're the butt of the joke. If it's funny, we're happy to have you on the air. What's your next best voice after Gary Busey?
Well, I'll do an Ozzy Osbourne. Or I can do a little Jack Nicholson for you.
Yeah, you better stick with Gary Busey, I think.
Gary Busey's the one, right?
That's the one, man. That's the money right there. All right, Greg, well, congratulations and thanks a lot for making it so much fun for us the last couple weeks, dude.
If I can just say, Kevin and Bean, you guys are comedy gold. No. I've listened to you guys for years. Ralph is an inspiration to me. And Lisa May... Since when does garlic bread ever resemble dog food?
That is a question for the ages.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. Bye.
Here's a little something for everybody next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Director Zack Snyder joins us talking about his new film, Sucker Punch. And we'll catch up with Doto, the international man of mystery. That's all straight ahead. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's happening, Ralph?
I'm hoping everyone will tune out for my new film this weekend, Donkey Punch.
That doesn't sound like the same movie.
Very similar. Wish those girls in that Sucker Punch movie were starring in my movie. I wasn't able to afford that kind of talent. It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores. New DVDs available for your entertainment enjoyment. The Tourist with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie. If you want to see what all the hubbub was about from the Oscars and the Golden Globes, and everyone was talking about why no one's going to see The Tourist, you can check it out for yourself. Yogi Bear, starring Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake.
No!
Come on!
Keep going.
Hey, boo-boo! It's Picnic Basket!
What else you got?
You can still listen.
Hey! It's Ranger Smith Yogi! Hey! Come on!
What else
picnic
you got?
Baskets! They eat a lot of picnic baskets!
Got it. What else?
I don't think you get it.
I do.
How Do You Know, starring Reese Witherspoon?
No!
Wow.
That was a disaster, right?
Yeah. Stand By Me, the 25th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray?
Yeah, that's a great movie.
It is.
I don't think I need to own it, but...
I don't know if Blu-ray will enhance the experience or not. You get to see him really walking down train tracks. Very clear train tracks. Skyline. Alien film. The aliens coming to kick ass with Eric Balfour and Donald Faison.
Oh, yeah.
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 If you liked Battle Los Angeles, you probably like Skyline. Right. So maybe I'm going to pick that up.
That was one that the dude made on his home computer, right?
Yeah, they did it for like $25,000 or something, shot it at his condo, and did the whole thing in post, really, with all the special effects.
Amazing.
Kind of cool. New CDs are available today. Fame by Chris Brown, which Chris celebrated by tearing up the studios at Good Morning America this morning.
What happened?
He performed to promote his new CD. Robin Roberts was interviewing him. He wanted to talk about the CD. She started talking about Rihanna. He flipped out backstage, crashed a window in his dressing room, stormed out of the building without a shirt on, basically went bat-ass crazy. So
that's good?
Not good for him.
A good sign?
Is that maybe not the best way to show that you've got your anger issues under control?
I think you've hit the nail on the head right there.
TMZ reported that Robin Roberts... claims that she ran the questions by Chris Brown and he was fine with them. What sense does that make?
I don't know.
Bizarre.
All You Need Is Now by Duran Duran. Actually, All You Need Is 1984. Duran Duran.
All You Need Is No is what I said.
Glam Nation Live by Adam Lambert. Awesome as F by Green Day. I Remember Me by Jennifer Hudson and Angles by The Strokes are the new CDs being released today. Speaking of CDs, you'd be happy to know Pearl Jam frontman Eddie Vedder has just announced his solo album in May. It's called Ukulele Songs. And
is that ironic?
Eddie singing original tunes and covers while also playing the ukulele.
Yay!
I know it sounds
I'd rather die.
A funny or die video, but actually it's a real thing. It's actually going to happen.
Now, you brought this up
earlier. It's great.
And
you love it. It's the best.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
You win. Okay. We're all dumb. You're great. We got it.
Longing to Belong, the first single, is really good. And, Ralph, I thought you might do the story again, so I actually have a clip of it. If you would like to hear what Eddie Vedder with the ukulele sounds like. And I'm telling you, what you think it is not what it is. It's really, really good. Will you at least permit me to play 5 seconds?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's Eddie Vedder. Nothing like what you're talking about with the ukulele.
Oh, that's true.
I've changed my mind.
That's pretty good, right?
Wait, that's the heavy metal version of Friday.
Oh,
which is,
you know what?
Way better than the original.
I got my files mixed up. I'm sorry, I don't have the Eddie Vedder.
I'm looking forward to Eddie's new album, and Anthony Kiedis does all harmonica songs also be coming out this spring, so you can check that out.
It's a good time in popular music.
Speaking of popular music, Bryan Adams. Remember him, Canadian star Bryan Adams?
Sure.
Received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday.
Why?
First of all, it's bad enough the Canadians are coming and taking our jobs and our women. Now they're taking our Hollywood stars, too. But no room on the Walk of Fame for Canadians, I say. The weird part was Wayne Gretzky was there to honor him.
What?
Do all Canadians know each other?
I guess so. And as they stood there in the pouring rain, Brian sang, "Oh, Canada."
What's happening?
That's just rubbing it in our faces now.
Really is.
Is this Mad Libs?
Nope. This actually
that
happened. Yeah.
So,
Adam West, still no star. I just want to remind everyone. Adam West, TV's Batman and from Family Guy. No star.
Right.
Bryan Adams, last hit, the Three Musketeers movie theme, whatever the hell that was.
Right.
Just got his star on the Walk of Fame. So he's got that going for him.
What is going on?
Bad things.
You
got
to start running show business like you've been saying, Ralph.
I know. Motley Crue's going on tour this summer.
Sounds like there ought to be more to that story.
Were you looking for more of a response?
Do we really need another Crue tour?
I don't think so.
Do we have to start the Screw the Crue campaign again? Do we have to gear it up?
I think it's going to take care of itself.
You think so?
Probably.
Good news is, playing all their songs on ukulele.
Oh,
so
we
got that going for us.
Now I'm going.
The reason I bring it up, actually, is when he's not touring, Tommy Lee also has a new TV show. It's for the Sci-Fi Channel. It's called Culture Shock with Tommy Lee, where Tommy will investigate rituals, symbols, and mysteries of secret societies.
What?
Wait,
he's the guy you want to go to. For
finally,
Tommy Lee, scholarly research.
An academic of value, taking a look at some of these mythologies.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
I'm so glad our guy who does Tommy Lee will be back next Wednesday.
That's right. He's bananas. James Gandolfini has picked up a new role. He is starring in Eating with the Enemy, a new HBO movie.
Come on. Come on. The first word is eating?
Yes.
Really? All right.
He'll play a restaurant owner in Hackensack, New Jersey, whose relationship with folks at the North Korean mission to the U.S. in Manhattan proved to be crucial during a crisis. It's based on a true story, by the way.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we got James Gandolfini coming back to television.
Fat.
I'm happy to say, oh, come on. And usually women make us angry with these kind of comments, but this time it's Ryan Phillippe. He says he is just so frustrated because he just can't age.
Oh, F you
don't you
so
know what
much.
That's like, fellas? Where you're just so tired of looking so youthful and handsome all the time. Ryan's just so frustrated.
Yeah, that's the
he
same
says
thing.
He drinks, he smokes cigarettes, but he just can't get rid of his youthful appearance. Oh, Ryan.
He's got to be joking, right?
I don't believe he is.
I mean, it may be true, but he's got to be saying it in a joking fashion.
I don't believe
no?
he is,
oh.
No. I've got an aluminum softball bat, Ryan, and I think we can work out your face issues.
We can age you?
Spend a little time, me and Kevin, out in the parking lot. We'll see what we can do for you.
They've spent a lot of time with Ralph Macchio in the press leading up to Dancing with the Stars, talking about how he looks about 5 years older than when he was in the Karate Kid movies. He's almost 50.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Dude looks pretty youthful.
He dances good too. He rocked it last night.
Not complaining about not being.
You put your money on the right horse there, Ralph.
That's right. And Sammy Hagar. I know that's a name from the past, but it's well worth it when you hear the rest of the story. Sammy Hagar, of course, was a solo act, and then he joined Van Halen as their lead singer for a period of time. He's just released his new autobiography, Red, My Uncensored Life in Rock. And it's not just about his musical career. It's also about the fact that, you'll be happy to know, he was abducted by aliens.
All right! Really?
Yep.
For real? I mean, he seriously...
Oh, couldn't be more serious. Couldn't be more serious, Kevin.
Love it.
Not only was he abducted the first time when he was about 4 years old...
Yes.
He says, we lived out in the country. I saw this thing floating across a field, creating a big dust storm. I threw rocks at it. I don't know what happened after that. Apparently, he blacked out. He believes he was absorbed by the spacecraft and taken away. But when he was much older, he believes that the aliens plugged into his brain. It was a download situation, he says. This was long before computers or any kind of wireless. There weren't even wireless telephones. Looking back at it, I realize, F, they downloaded something into me, or they uploaded something from my brain, like an experiment. Let's see what this guy knows, he thought the aliens thought to themselves.
Really? They're going to come to Earth, they're going to pick him?
Yes.
Really?
It's like they really wanted the lyrics for I Can't Drive 55, so they had to plug into his brain while he was asleep. Someone said, couldn't this just been a dream, since it happened while you were asleep? No, it was real. They plugged into my brain.
Love it.
Boy, were they disappointed.
So do you think if we had people call in, you think we could find people who believe they were abducted by aliens? I don't know.
In a second.
You think?
Yes.
I don't think so.
In a second.
I want to be abducted, but I have not been.
But you want to be abducted, but you have some common sense about it.
Right. Sammy Hagar.
In a second. No. We can do this tomorrow and we
really?
We can take,
you think?
Yes.
Are you kidding? I'm worried about it. I don't know. I mean, that's why this story is getting, I think it's getting a lot of play because He clearly crazy if he thinks he was abducted by aliens.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, maybe.
He says, they tapped into my brain. The knowledge was transferring back and forth. I could see them and everything while it was happening. Don't get me going, he says.
I would love to get him going.
It's too late, Sammy. Let's try that. Let's open the phones tomorrow, maybe, for some abductees.
Okay. You guys know what audience we're talking about, right?
Well,
look,
true.
I know we're going to get phone calls for, yes, I smuggled contraband in my ass.
All right.
I know that.
You don't think we have crazy?
I heard rumors that you had a phone topic today about eating stuff.
No,
I was not listening to that at all.
That didn't happen. That was a poor idea, and we decided not to
I spent
it.
A half an hour on YouTube while you guys were taking those phone calls.
I wish I would have joined you.
But I don't know if we'll get I was abducted by aliens.
Guaranteed.
Phone calls. Guaranteed.
Give you $20 if you don't.
All right, $20. But now people are going to call in just so that I'll lose $20.
Or not.
They'll pretend.
So
they'll
I'll
just
lose
lie.
$20. Well, they'll lie anyway. I mean, we're going to have to see through it. But
as we did with Gary Busey.
Yeah, we were good.
You know,
we're
good radar way. We have for fake callers.
We're good that way.
All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Reese Witherspoon is 35 years old today. Matthew Modine is 52. Actress Lena Olin celebrates her 56th birthday. Sportscaster Bob Costas is 59. And today is International Talk Like William Shatner Day. The reason? Because it's William Shatner's birthday. He is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman and welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. I remember when I first saw the trailer for Sucker Punch, I thought, A, man, there are a lot of hot chicks in this movie. B, I have no idea what's going on in this movie. And then C, oh, it's Zack Snyder? I'm in. So Sucker Punch opens up everywhere this Friday. We are pleased to welcome Zack Snyder, the director and co-writer of the film, to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Zack. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Hey, guys. Really great to be here.
I saw the trailer as well as Bean, and I thought, what is happening? I didn't know what's going on.
I mean, I thought, like, I guess I figured, you know, if I just put, like, you know, machine guns and dragons in the trailer, that I really, it wouldn't matter.
Well, I am in because of that, but then also I try to go, well, I really don't have any understanding.
No, I get that, of course. I mean, the movie's about these girls that are stuck in this institution, and it's like a prison break movie in some ways, and they kind of band together to escape, but one of them has these sort of, when they do their little missions to steal the little objects they need to escape, one of them has like a fantasy that it's a bigger than it is.
And I think what also confused me about it, and please tell me the reasoning behind this, why are there so many women in this movie? I mean, I think that's super interesting and makes it stand out from a lot of the other kinds of fantasy movies. We don't see this very often, but why is that integral to the story, Zach?
Yeah, they're kind of in this, where the movie takes place in sort of an institution for women, like a mental institution for women. So that's why they
a mental institution for hot women.
Yeah, well.
Do those exist?
What's that? Do they exist?
Yeah, do they exist? Because I'd like to visit.
They used to. You know, back in the day, they existed. Just purely for hot women, and it was cool that they did that.
How tough was it? I'm sure every young actress in Hollywood wanted to be in the next Zack Snyder movie. How tough was it for you to cast this thing and find the right actresses for the roles?
It was hard, only in that, you know, there's honestly there's a embarrassment of riches of talent, you know, around the globe when you really start to look. But I got to say, you know, these girls, you know, we saw a ton of girls, and the girls that I got, I couldn't, you know, imagine, you know, more beautiful, more talented, and more awesomely dedicated. I mean, these girls, I put them through some serious training to like get this. To get to the point where they'd be comfortable with all the action and everything, and they didn't hesitate for a second. They went big time, 8 hours a day, just doing it hardcore.
Hey, it looks to me like Vanessa Hudgens has grown up. I mean, she was the biggest surprise to me in this cast, and everything that I've seen, you know, online with clips and whatnot, she looks like she really holds her own.
Yeah, Vanessa. You know, I kept thinking like, oh, I kept wanting to give Vanessa like the biggest firearms that I could think of, just because I felt like that made sense in some weird perverse way. And
that's what I like about you.
She handled it quite well.
Is it difficult as a director writer who doesn't do, you know, typical movies, is it difficult for you to get your vision across, and do you sometimes just go, just trust me?
Yeah, I by the way, I say that a lot.
That's what I figured. Yeah,
just trust me is like my mantra to everyone. Like, you're not going to look right. Well, when we were making 300, you know, the guys were like, "Really, just in these little leather bikinis? Really, is this going to be cool?"
Right.
And I'm like, "Just trust me, it's going to be okay."
Now, Zach, I've seen some press leading up to this film, and by the way, I have really felt bad for you because you're promoting Sucker Punch, and so many people want to talk to you about Superman. I mean, you've got so much going on spinning around right now in the Zack Snyder world. But I've seen so much press where you talked about how you really had trouble editing this movie to get the MPAA happy. What was the hang up? What was the problem with them? Too violent?
Yeah, well, I had conceived of the movie. I mean, look, the very, very first version of the movie, of course, in my mind was rated R, because you know I know how to make an R-rated movie.
Absolutely.
Like, that's, I have no problem with that.
It's in your wheelhouse.
But, yeah, totally. But then what happened was, in this movie, because it was all about, like, you know, girls and guns and stuff, I was like, you know, maybe it should be PG-13 just so it's not just about that, because if it was rated R, I was afraid it would be.
And will you put the rated R version on the DVD?
Well, it's like an unrated DVD, you
all
know.
Right.
I don't know if it's necessarily, it hasn't been like ordained an R, but it certainly is not PG-13, so I guess it is.
Okay.
But yeah, so we went back to the ratings board, and they would just say, dude, you've got to cut some more out. What you think is a PG-13 is crazy, okay? So I just kept having to go back to them. And they finally were like, okay, fine, fair enough.
You just wear them down?
I wore them down right over time.
And we hear that from directors all the time. I mean, that is one of the most ambiguous processes to ever go through. And it's got to be so frustrating when you've got this movie you don't want to cut anymore, and they're kind of forcing you. And sometimes their direction is fairly vague as to what will please them, right?
Yeah, you know, it's completely like, it was like, we don't like some of the looks that the people are giving each other. I'm like, I don't know what to say about that. Like, the looks are creepy. Okay, I guess. It's going to be rated R for weird looks.
That's bizarre.
This is the voice of writer-director Zack Snyder on the phone on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about his new film that opens up everywhere called Sucker Punch. It opens this Friday. Kevin, I think you've got a clip, right?
I do. I unfortunately didn't hear the clip because I was out of the room.
But let's roll it.
All right, here we go.
It's come to our attention that a few bad eggs, led by one little egg in particular, have spit in the face of that generosity. And are plotting against me. Your employer plotting to take from me my most precious possessions.
Uh-oh. Sounds evil. Sounds evil, Zach.
Yeah, that's Oscar Isaacs. He plays the bad guy. And he's awesome. He's a great guy. He's actually, you know, the music for the movie is pretty crazy and awesome, too. You know, it's a big sort of musical extravaganza, and I really wanted to make a movie that was basically, you know, used music as sort of the spine for the action sequences. And there's one scene, one song at the very end of the movie that Oscar sings, and it's just on the sort of end titles, and he did an amazing job. He and Carla did.
I wanted to ask you about that, because I noticed that you have your actors and actresses singing on. You don't see that very often. I mean, somebody like Emily Browning, I mean, I didn't even know she was a singer, but you've got her singing in the film, too.
Yeah, I had this idea that I wanted her to sing, and in her audition, she did just sort of this a cappella version of Killing Me Softly,
mm-hmm.
and it was awesome and haunting and cool, and I said, okay, you know what, we should have her sing more. So, and the next thing I know, you know, we got like three songs with her.
See, Zach Snyder, man, he just rolls with it.
Yep.
Well,
just
you've got him. You've got a track record, man, between 300 and The Watchmen and even the Owl movie that people loved. If Zack Snyder's name on it, you go see it. It is called Sucker Punch. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Great to catch up with you on The Kevin Devine Show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was awesome.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 928.
What are you eating? You can't wait 20 minutes till the end of the show, Kevin?
My licorice like halfway through the temper trap, and it's just not going away. It's actual rubber.
Ralph has the showbiz beat in minutes here on the Kevin Devine Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I had the weirdest email exchange yesterday with Doto, the international man of mystery, one of our favorite Kevin Devine listeners. Here's how it went. I emailed him, and I said, hey, Doto, we haven't talked to you in a while. What's up? Where are you? And he wrote back and said, I'm home, Kevin Devine. And I wrote back and said, can we talk to you in the show tomorrow? And he wrote back and said, yes.
What?
That's what I'm saying. You know how usually it's about a four-month process of pulling teeth and going through, you know, the Vietnam embassy and everything else to try to, you know, get the guy. And then he gives us your phone number. He gives us phone numbers that have a digit missing. I mean, you know, all the pratfalls, pitfalls, I mean, of trying to get Doto on.
He's tough to corral, if that's what you're saying. He's tough to get a hold on.
He is very. It was a lot easier getting Zack Snyder on the phone a few minutes ago than the international man of mystery. But let's welcome Doto back to the show. Doe, how are you?
Hey, Bean, how's it going? I need some babes, Bean.
I know you do, Doe. I know you do. Now, what have you been doing to try to get some babes since the last time we spoke
to you?
You
know what? When I was in Hong Kong, Kevin Bean, I went out to the bar and I met some girls from mainland China. We went out to Italian food, Kevin Bean. Then we went out and we got some drinks.
So right. you met some girls. You went out with more than one girl at a time, and you went out and you took them out for dinner and drinks?
Yeah, well, I know. I went out with just one of them, Kevin Bean.
Oh, just one of them. Okay. Yeah. Was she Chinese, Doe?
Yeah.
And how did it go? I mean, was there romance?
Yeah.
How much did it cost?
I got laid, man.
How much did it cost?
Nothing.
Oh, Doto. Wait, you're telling me that you had consensual sex, and I mean consensual meaning that she also approved it, with this woman that you met that you took to the restaurant?
Yeah, Bean. She's from mainland China. She's not from the big city, Bean.
Right.
Okay.
I have a follow-up question, if I could. How much did it cost?
When I took out to dinner, it cost about $50 to $60, Kevin Bean.
Right, but uh-huh. I'm talking, then after that.
Kevin is suggesting that you had to pay for the girl to have sex with you, but that's not true, right, Doto?
That's not true, Bean. That's not true, Kevin.
Yeah, Bean.
Wow. Doto met a girl, took her out for dinner, and then had sex, got some. That's crazy, Doto. I didn't know that ever happened for you.
Yeah, it could happen if you just put your mind to it, right, Bean?
I mean, I guess. I don't know why you're talking to me. I haven't been late in 11 years. I don't know why you're talking to me.
I thought that you get women almost every week, Bean.
Yes, that's true. Bean gets women every week. That is very true.
So, Doe, if you finally... Hey, was she blind or deaf? Do you know?
Oh, why
come
would...
Come on, Bean. You don't
I'm just...
You know, what do I care about, right, Bean?
What do you care about, right, Bean?
Wait. Are you saying...
She's a communist.
She's a communist.
Okay. All right. But my question is, in what country were you in when you had this alleged sex?
Yeah. You know, like in Hong Kong, you cross the border to China, right? Guangzhou.
Right, sure.
Okay. So you were in Hong Kong when you guys went on your date?
Yeah.
Okay. Why didn't you, if you went to Hong Kong, you found a woman who would do you, why didn't you stay there? Why did you come back to America? Because no one in this country will do you.
I don't. You know what? It's a life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
By the way, that's true. That's science.
Life is like a box of chocolate. So, are you going to keep in touch with the young lady, or are you just hit it and quit it?
You know what? To be honest, it's kind of up in the air this time, Bean.
Yeah. Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that? What that means is she's challenging you to find her because she really wants you to.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
So it's up in the air because she's running from me as fast as she can?
Yes.
She changed her phone number.
Doto, I don't mean, look, we're friends. Okay. We're friends, right, Doto?
Yeah, of course I know that. I'm not dumb, Bean.
Okay, well, I don't want you to be offended by this question.
No, I'm not offended.
I haven't asked
yes,
the question
yet.
Has any woman ever had sex with you twice?
You know, one woman in Malaysia 6 years ago, Kevin Bean. Can I tell what happened, Bean?
Yeah, sure. Please do.
I don't get it, Kev. You know, 6 years ago, when I was in Malaysia, I was on a tour, right? This was in
in June of 04, right?
You're in a tour of Malaysia.
And
okay.
And then I was in Kuala Lumpur, and then I was asking the guys that where can I go to see some ladies at the bar, because I'm kind of bored to death, and some of the Indian guys took me to the bars where a lot of these ladies kick your bean.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I just had fun and paid $50 U.S. dollars.
There you go, $50.
Okay, but I'm not talking about a prostitute. Obviously, a prostitute will have sex with you as many times as you pay her. I'm talking about, like, this lady that you met in Hong Kong. She only had sex with you once, and then she changed her phone number. Has any woman ever had sex with you twice voluntarily that you didn't pay?
You know what? I don't... Yeah.
Pot calling the kettle black. That was not a very convincing yeah.
Oh, Toto, you're the best person I've ever known. All right, listen, we're almost out of time. How long are you going to be back in the States this time, Joe?
Well, I'll be here until June or July. What I need is some babes, babe.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're doing just fine, Toto.
You're doing better than I am. Yeah, he only gets them when he leaves the country, though.
You and Bean get babes almost every day.
We do get babes every day. That is true.
Toto, we're so happy that you're back. Unfortunately, we don't have any more time, but can we do this again soon, my friend?
Yeah, no problem, Bean.
But you say that every time, and then it takes us six months to track you down.
I'm sure Dr. Bean and I will be keeping contact 24-7.
Yes, you will.
Yes, we will, 24-7.
With the internet these days, life is it's like pretty much you can find people anywhere, right, Bean?
That's correct, yes. All right, have a great day, Doe. Thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your story with the Kevin and Bean Show.
Woo!
Time for the Showbiz Beat, Kevin and Bean.
You missed Toto already, don't you?
I do. Get him back on the phone. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Before I get to showbiz news, I've got a trip to give away to Las Vegas, Nevada. How about that?
That's the good Las Vegas.
It is. This is the one all about the new show that's taking place in Vegas called Absinthe. You can go to absinthevegas.com for more details, but it's basically a combination of circus and burlesque and vaudeville and hot babes and weirdness and acrobats and acid and absinthe. And it's just an amazing new show that's happening in Vegas at Caesar's Palace. I'm going to send you to check it out. It's one winner. Let's say caller number 12 right now, 1-800-520-1067. One winner is going to win a trip to Vegas. You get to stay at Caesar's Palace. You get the accommodations. You get dinner for two. And you get to see the brand new show, Absinthe, that's happening there at Caesar's Palace. And I'm dying to check the show out because I heard about it when it was in New York a couple years ago. This same group was putting on the show in New York, and it was getting rave reviews, just saying it's just a weird, trippy, funny, sexy show, and it sounds like it'd be perfect for Vegas, so I'm glad they put it there. So call now if you'd like to win. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. I know you guys talked to Psycho Mike earlier about his performance on Dancing with the Stars last night.
Killed it.
Killed the show?
He killed...
What? The show?
Oh, no. He killed the dance.
Oh.
I think he got the highest score.
If you didn't see it, Mike is the best dancer in the history of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
If you did see it, he got a 13 out of a possible 30 and was the lowest ranked of all the performers that night.
You can look at it that way.
But that's just numbers.
That is just numbers. That doesn't mean necessarily anything. For instance, he has the backing of some very powerful fan bases on the web for Dancing with the Stars.
He does?
One of them, which is a website called Best of the Worst. This is a website that always encourages people to vote for the worst people in any competition reality TV series.
That's how I usually do it.
Because they think it's funny for the worst person to win. Like for Dancing with the Stars. For American Idol, for example.
Right.
They were through all their weight behind Sanjaya that year. Remember when Sanjaya was there just with the hairdo who couldn't sing?
Sure.
They desperately wanted him to win that year. And they have picked Psycho Mike as their candidate for Dancing with the Stars.
Because it would make Dancing with the Stars unhappy?
Yes.
Love it.
And would make them happy.
Love it.
Here's what they said in their nomination today. Mike goes on to give a jaw-droppingly awful dance routine.
Aww.
He even pulls out the finger guns and a mock cheesy grin.
I didn't see the finger guns.
Oh, you didn't? It was outstanding. At one point, he was stomping around like a pigeon-toed gorilla. And I mean that in a good way, says the author.
Oh, poor guy.
He was terrible, but terrible for entertainment. We rocked it. We rocked it, he mouthed when it was finished. Bravo, Mike. Mike, Psycho Mike is my worst. His lack of dedication to dancing, his constant mocking of the show, his zero-level name recognition wins him a spot in my heart. So they're throwing their weight fully behind Psycho Mike.
As are we.
And so, you look, they actually have some sway. People vote, according to this website, quite often on these shows.
Yeah.
So he might do better than we expected. Did you guys catch Glee last week?
No.
Not since the Super Bowl episode. I'm out.
I guess last week's was the Big Gay Kiss episode.
Okay.
Where Chris Colfer, who won the Golden Globe for his role on that show, and his boyfriend on the show finally had their first kiss.
Okay.
And some people were not happy about it.
Really?
Yes.
It is interesting, Ralph, that it would have been such a big deal to have a primetime teenage, you know, appeal show have a big gay kiss. I never even really heard about it. That shows how insignificant it is to most Americans at this point.
Yeah, I think we've moved beyond that. And to a certain extent, it didn't get a lot of play in the media. However, some hardcore right-wing religious people are up in arms. The most vocal of which is Victoria Jackson. Now, I don't know if you remember Victoria Jackson or not, but she used to be on Saturday Night Live. She was the blonde bimbo.
Who talks like a girl and talks like this all
the time. A real squeaky little voice. Oh,
yes. Yeah. Apparently now she has rededicated her life to Jesus. And she did a big blog post that got a lot of attention because she called the kiss sickening, accused the producers of shoving the gay thing down our throats.
Oh, that's...
And making a mockery of Christians, because in that particular episode, Kathy Griffin played a Sarah Palin type Tea Party Christian candidate who was one of the judges at the regionals for the singing competition.
What does she do about gay Christians? What does she do with them? They're allowed.
Well, denies their existence.
She says it doesn't really matter what she thinks, being because what matters is what the Bible says, and they say that homosexuality is a sin. So she's pretty cut and dry on that department. But what I thought was interesting is she took a chance on CNN when they interviewed her about this to also take some shots at the Muslims, which I thought was cool.
Okay.
And to give us some education about STDs, which I did not know. But here's the entire quote from CNN.
They should have a celibacy campaign and tell kids that 50% of teenagers now have this new STD from oral sex. That's what they should be, you know, doing instead of trying to make kids gay. Now listen, I just want to know why the liberals are pro-Muslim and pro-gay. Muslims kill gays. That's what's confusing to me. And the only thing I can come up with is that the Muslims hate God and the gays hate.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, shut her up.
Jeez. So there's a new STD out there. I had no idea. It's brand new.
Wow.
And Muslims kill gays. And Muslims hate God, and the gays hate the Bible.
Wow!
So, in case you needed to be filled in, luckily we went to Victoria Jackson, a former contortionist and cast member of Saturday Night Live, for our education.
It's bizarre that that is still out there, don't you think?
It is. It is.
That still elicits that kind of reaction.
Bizarre and troubling.
Just ridiculous.
Apparently, the Muslims hate the gays, and Victoria Jackson hates salads.
We know that.
I don't know if you've seen her recently,
but
yes. But she bought all the tagalongs that the Girl Scouts showed up at her front door with. That's all I'm telling you.
Wow.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Reese Witherspoon, she's 35 years old today. Kevin, anything to say about Reese?
Nope, man.
Oh, wow, you've been very silent, because usually you're all over Reese, and she's very pretty.
I haven't heard one dude today. Usually,
dude.
That's all I hear from Kevin.
I start to think I annoy everyone. She's a dude.
She's not a dude.
She's not a dude.
Back to you.
She is a woman. My man. Matthew Modine is 52 years old today. Lena Olin celebrates her 56th birthday. Sportscaster Bob Costas turns 59. And actor William Shatner celebrates his 80th birthday today. And in a bizarre coincidence, today also happens to be International Talk Like William Shatner Day.
What are the chances?
So when you're at school or work, please take advantage of it and talk only as William Shatner all day long. It won't get on anybody's nerves.
No, they love it. You. Especially if you're bad at it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have John Oliver, who's a very funny stand-up and is on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Yes.
He's got a comedy special.
Shouldn't Kevin be doing this promote of tomorrow as William Shatner, Kevin? Ralph, don't you really think it is International Talk Like William Shatner Day?
I can't do it.
You did it.
We're going to talk to a dude who is surviving on only beer for Lent.
Okay, strong. Now some people give up alcohol for Lent. That's their thing.
Right.
For 40 days or whatever it is, they won't drink.
Everything
he gave up everything else. He's our guy.
Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Radio.
Yeah.
You were abducted by aliens.
No, I was not.
Someone is going to call with that. I'm telling you, we always get calls, and this is not going to disappoint.
Sammy Hagar claimed they plugged into his brain.
That happened.
Need a little tiny plug.
twice to Sammy Hagar. And Rainn Wilson will be on the program tomorrow, too, talking about Super. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.